We are here to nominate a president.
NBC's Tracy Potts is at the convention center this morning.
In the official state-by-state vote, Ohio put President Obama over the top.
All 188 votes for the president and the next president of the United States, Barack Obama.
In a surprise appearance, President Obama joined Clinton on stage.
And the Secret Service is investigating the reported theft of Mitt Romney's tax returns. An anonymous letter says $1 million will keep them from going public. This is NBC News Radio. In Arizona, a federal judge has ruled that police there can enforce its Show Me Your Papers provision of the immigration law. Those opposed say the law will allow racial profiling of Latinos. In Alaska, a storm brought hurricane-strength winds. Reporter Abby Hancock with NBC affiliate KTTU has more.
Nearly all 30,000 municipal light and power customers lost service after the wind and fallen trees damaged all three of its major transmission lines.
We've had folks that have been with MLMP for 20 years, and no one can remember anything like this.
Hurricane Michael has become the first Category 3 hurricane of the season. It poses no immediate threat to land, and it is way out in the Atlantic. And there's a new Green Lantern. He's a Muslim from Dearborn, Michigan, who leaves behind street racing to join the Intergalactic Police Force. The character was introduced yesterday by DC Comics. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we wind up agents like outboard motors, and this is a pop quiz. If you're out on the water and your boat finds its way into a steel buoy, are you covered? If you've got Farmers boater insurance, the answer is yes. If not, we've got a policy to help you stay above water, even if your boat's below it.
If you want answers about boat insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
How do we get a diagnosis?
What are the stages of the disease?
When someone in your life has Alzheimer's, not a day goes by that you don't have questions.
Do we need full-time care?
Are there any new treatments?
So many questions. Where do you start?
How will I pay for this?
Where can I get help?
Alzheimer's.gov, a reliable resource for information about Alzheimer's and related dementias.
What happens next?
Where can I find answers?
Alzheimer's.gov, the answers start here.
Samsung can record a victory lap, but it'll have to hurry. Research by Canaccord Genuity finds that in August, Samsung's Galaxy S3 smartphone actually outsold Apple's iPhone 4S. The Galaxy was the top-selling phone among Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile customers, and second with AT&T customers. It's believed iPhone sales were held back last month, not only because the 4S is 10 months old now, ancient by tech standards, but because Apple is about to drop the iPhone 5, and everybody's waiting for it. This morning we get the latest on jobs in three ways. Reports on August layoff announcements, private payroll growth, and last year's new jobless claims. As we wait for that, Career Builder is out with a list of jobs which have seen the most growth in the past year. Job listings are up 71% for software engineers in the past year, up 48% for social media managers, up 45% for truck drivers. Stock futures up about a half percent, S&P futures gaining 7. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Wearing glasses with Prizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
One man.
Every American was relieved the day President Obama gave the order and SEAL Team 6 took out Osama bin Laden.
One dream.
I believed in you. And I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
One nation.
The point is that when we succeed because of our individual initiative, but also because we do things together.
One big-ass party.
But, you know, I'm a professional. I've got to do what I've got to do.
First Shift is on the road.
I'm feeling kind of fired up. I'm feeling like I'm ready to go.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Change the world.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. Welcome. I am Tony Trupiano, live from the Time Warner Cable Arena. Our last day here at the Democratic National Convention, and you might expect as we work our way throughout not just the show, but throughout this entire day, history will be made. As last night, President Bill Clinton re-nominated Barack Obama to be the next president of the United States, and to us for to rehire him for 4 more years. The theme throughout the night was just electrifying. It was really all pro-Obama, mixed in with a whole lot of truth, a whole lot of personal stories. Though those that know Mitt Romney, those that have been affected by Mitt Romney, and the list goes on and on and on, and we'll talk about that a great deal. Now, we were just informed before the show began that many of our early morning guests have canceled. I'm going to guess that's because there was way too much time nighttime partying. The convention went quite late last night. They didn't do roll call until after the president's speech. The convention itself was didn't end until well after midnight, which is probably why all of us morning radio shows were just given our pink slips for lots of guests in the early morning. So we'll have to see what happens as we work our way throughout the morning. But we do, those scheduled to appear include Rich Goodstein, who is a Democratic strategist and attorney, Representative Congressman John Yarmuth, James P. Hoffa, the International President of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Deion Jones, the youngest elected official in the nation, Emily Tisch Sussman, who is the Executive Director of the Young Democrats of America. Again, a lot of emphasis put on youth and women at this convention, and Hispanics as well. And Kevin Moore, the president of Teamsters Local 299 and an international trustee for the Teamsters, will be with us. And Michigan Congressman Gary Peters will round up our guests today. And then, of course, the big news coming out of the convention yesterday, besides the speeches, is the original venue that the president was supposed to speak at, the Bank of America Arena, or Bank of America Field, was called off. The weather is threatening this evening. We have had some pretty nasty weather while we've been here, not just the heat and humidity, but the rain. In fact, as we said yesterday, it rained almost the entire day. The day before yesterday, not nearly as bad, but they are expecting not only rain today, but perhaps severe thunderstorms this evening. And so the idea of putting people in harm's way was something the DNC took a deep breath on. They've now displaced 20-something thousand people of the general public that had tickets to this night's event, and the media may be affected as well. They may not let all the media in to see the president this evening, so we're kind of crossing our fingers and hoping we make the cut. We may not. We may be doing what you are doing, which is watching it from the comfort of our hotel room, but we, of course, wish and hope and pray that we will be in the arena this evening, as now everything is staying at the Time Warner Cable Arena. There were reports out yesterday that the reason they moved it is they didn't get rid of enough tickets and that they didn't fill the stadium. I can assure you not only is that true, they had a waiting list of tickets over 20,000 people. So you guys can put all that aside. It was just nonsense. Just nonsense. As always, you're welcome to join us throughout the program today, 888-552-3595. The very first email I got after President Clinton spoke last night is, how will President Obama top that? Well, I can promise you he will. I can promise you he will. I've not yet seen an advance text of his speech. We do, by the way, get advance texts of all the speeches. Which is kind of interesting because when you go to watch them, you can tell when they're going off script. It's kind of fun to just play that game. We will get an advance of the president's speech sometime late this afternoon. I'm sure it is going to be at least, if not surpassing, if it's possible, what President Clinton did last night. No question, he's a rock star. With all that said, let me say good morning to Jeff Radford, as we wrap up, Jeff, our time here at Time Warner Cable Arena and at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. Can't believe that this is our last show for the convention already.
Time goes by fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is just flying by. And, yeah, I just, you know, and what's interesting, of course, Jeff, as each passing day has gone on, security has gotten tighter and tighter and tighter, and it makes sense. Yesterday, the First Lady was in town. The Vice President was here. This morning, the normal route into the arena was closed down. We had to find an alternate route because, as we know, the President is now in Charlotte, and we could probably guess what hotel he's staying at by the fact that you couldn't get anywhere near it, at least driving.
Holiday Inn Express?
Yeah, exactly. So, it was quite an adventure getting in here this morning. It took us a little bit longer to get in here this morning. I will say it's not nearly as hot and humid this morning as it has been, but they are predicting severe weather, the potential for severe weather this afternoon, especially this evening. And so that decision was made. I got to tell you, not a lot of very unhappy people here in Charlotte, as I'm sure you can imagine, when 22,000 people are given tickets to come to see the president accept his party's nomination, and they're told, about that, what the president's actually doing today is a conference call with those 22,000 people. They'll all be given a phone number they can call into. He's going to address them directly, and then he's also promised to come back here between now and November 6th and have a public event where those that are displaced today will be able to hopefully see him. So I can't imagine that was a very easy decision to make, especially since they did have a waiting list of almost 20,000 more people that wanted to get in to see him speak this evening. So that's a little bit of a nightmare.
But. Oh, come on, Tony. If you watch Fox News or read redstate.com, it was because he can't fill a stadium that big, so they're moving into a smaller venue.
Yeah, well, the asshat Gleason brothers, one of them posted that yesterday, and, of course, his source was the Daily Mail from the UK. And then, you know, I responded to it, Jeff, by saying, you know, this is what's really going on. He's like, the weather, you expect me to believe it's the weather? It's an outdoor stadium. Yeah, I expect you to believe it's the weather.
See, so Tony, that involves science and weather conditions, two of things that the Republicans completely don't believe.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got that right. What did you think of, before we get to the break, what did you think of the President, President Clinton's speech last night?
Amazing. It was a great speech. Yeah. It's funny because he could say basically anything. I mean, you can go back and I'll read the fact checkers later on, but he could say anything. And I would be like, wow, what a great speech. I mean, and then later on I'd be like, well, wait a minute. He just said ice cream was hot and, you know, the sky is orange or whatever. You know, I would still believe it. I don't know. He just has that kind of feel about him. And I read something last night that right after the speech, it said and it was from a conservative wrote it. He said it made it feel like everyone was in on the joke against somebody else, but he was basically attacking conservatives.
Right. Well, Brit Hume on Fox, who was waxed on and on and on about the glory of Bill Clinton and what an incredible guy he is, the best politician that he's ever seen, the best speaker that he's ever seen, and he was just effusive in his praise. Brit Hume, of all people, Jeff. Effusive in his praise for Bill Clinton, then a little later on in that segment, tempered it a little bit by saying, well, it went 30% too long. You know, he had to find something negative to say, but Alex Castellanos, who we play a lot of audio from, as you know, because he does a lot of the Sunday morning shows, last night basically said the speech was the turning moment in the campaign and guaranteed Barack Obama victory. Alex Castellanos, of all people. So I don't know that it necessarily guaranteed him victory, but it certainly set the tone moving forward. A couple prominent Republicans wrote again yesterday that I read early this morning, that the Republicans are incredibly jealous. They don't have a single orator in the Republican Party that comes near the skill set that Bill Clinton's has. And another conservative pundit said that if I were ever in trouble and I needed to be defended, Bill Clinton would be the guy that I would want to defend me. You may not believe him. It may not be the truth, but you would certainly believe him. He is an extraordinary public speaker and certainly is a testimonial to why he is still so popular 12 years after he left the White House. That's the other amazing stat. He hasn't been in the White House for 12 years and still is the rock star of the Democratic Party. Of course, bowing to President Obama at the end of the speech last night, which was an interesting gesture in and of itself. We'll take a look at the Tigers and a little football from last night. We've got some local stuff to get to as well, and lots of time to get to all of the stuff that we need to get to today. Live at the Time Warner Cable Arena, I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW. With Tony Trupiano. Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your early morning commute. So far, it's looking pretty good. We just have that one problem, and that could be a problem for most of the morning. It's on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 exit. You have that overturned tractor trailer that's partially blocking the ramp to eastbound 696, and traffic is getting through on the left shoulder only. Also, 26 mile at 94, that ramp to 94 eastbound is closed until Friday. And 75 northbound between Dixie Highway and East Holly Road, left two lanes are closed until 7 a.m. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
Drive through McDonald's and try a daily double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You can try it for just $1.99 on McDonald's new extra value menu. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your First Shift Weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is on the road. Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Thursday morning. And man, oh man, what a night. Yes, we're tired. Yes, we are tired. And for all the right reasons. And of course, for those of us that live, breathe, and eat politics, this is, if you will, our political Super Bowl. And man, oh man, what a night it was, from President Bill Clinton to Elizabeth Warren. Detroit's own Bob King spoke. Lots of members of Congress, lots of former Bain employees told their personal stories. Again, if you're either watching C-SPAN or PBS, you've got gavel-to-gavel coverage of the evening. But before we get back to all that, and we will, of course, we've got plenty of time today. Jeff, we are, of course, happy that the Tigers pulled out a victory last night, didn't get swept by the Cleveland Indians, kept pace with the Chicago White Sox, who also won, I believe, yesterday afternoon. So all things considered, and Miggy continues to have just a rip-roaring season.
Yeah, good win for them, and I saw the score, and I thought, man, Ubaldo got lit up, but actually they did most of the damage after Ubaldo left. So
yeah, eighth inning, I believe, is when
they scored five runs in the eighth. They actually had the lead the whole time. I mean, Ubaldo got the loss anyway, but it's weird that that's the guy. I mean, Ubaldo's supposed to be their number one. They gave up a bunch of people for him, and that's the guy they beat. They lose to the other guys. Masterson's pretty good, though.
Absolutely.
Did you hear about that? There's a big controversy about, I guess it's not big. There's a slight controversy about why Delman didn't play against Masterson.
No, do tell.
Apparently, Leland had said something, and he didn't say it the right way in one of his post-game interviews about how he kind of let on that Delman didn't want to face Masterson, so he asked to sit out. And actually, he then cleared it up yesterday and said that's not how it went down at all. And I don't know, tell me if you believe this. Leland went on to say that Delman is swinging a hot bat right now, so he sat him against Masterson because he's got terrible numbers against him, and he didn't want to induce a slump.
No, I'm not buying it. In fact, I believe it was in yesterday's Free Press where he had said that the decision not to play Delman Young was made a week ago. A week ago, Jeff, that, Jim Leland does play the numbers game that way, so it's not like it's the first time he's done something like that. But no, I'm not buying it this time around, no way.
Well, about the slump, you mean? But
yeah,
I think he plays the numbers. I think he already, you're right, he saw 3 for 20, and he's like, that's it. You don't get another shot. So.
Right. I don't think he needed to necessarily justify that by saying he didn't want to induce a slump, because, sweet God, come on. These guys are professional athletes. Anyway, where do you, any idea where the Tigers head from here? They were in Cleveland, I'm assuming.
They were actually at home, I think.
No, they were at home. You said they're going to L.A. next, Anthony?
Yeah, they're going to L.A.
Okay.
Actually, that's one of the only, the L.A. series is, there's only two series left that's not against a division, a Central Division opponent. So it's L.A. and then Oakland, and that's it. And then the rest of them are all against Central Division.
You know, we haven't chatted yet, as I know you are aware. Brandon Inge's season is over. He has to have shoulder surgery. And I would venture a guess, Jeff, that his career is over at this point as well.
I never put it past the Oakland A's for never filling a slot. Though I guess they have other guys, but who knows? I certainly hope it's not, to tell you the truth.
I personally like Brandon Inge a whole lot. And he's actually been a good contributor to the Oakland A's ball club, offensively anyway. He's come through in a pinch for him more than a couple times. So, it's not been a bad relationship. But apparently, I read an article where Brandon Inge said that he felt his shoulder pop, was able to get through the game, and said certainly he's available to pinch it or DH if needed. But he will be having surgery sometime in the next couple weeks, which will, of course, end his season. And perhaps his career. We'll have to just wait and see what happens. Now, the great predictions yesterday over the football game, and we're not going to lie to you, we did watch some of the football game. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys pull out a victory in what was a really sloppy first half. It was almost like the team didn't go through a preseason. They looked, both teams looked out of sorts. Although both defenses in the first half looked pretty sharp, I'll say that much. But the Cowboys pull out a victory, and we're off. Here we go.
Who predicted the Cowboys to win, by the way? Just going back over yesterday's show.
Yeah, I think you and I.
That's right, we did. And I think somebody picked against the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, who is that, Anthony?
I don't know. Who's that other guy on our show?
You, actually. it's you. Absolutely, it's you. So it was just great to watch football that counted, and so it was pretty cool. So it'll be interesting to see what the ratings are when the ratings come out today, especially in that 10 o'clock hour. It'll be interesting to see what those ratings look like
to see if the Tigers beat the NFL.
I'm more concerned if Bill Clinton beat the NFL.
How about if Bill Clinton didn't beat the NFL? Then do you think he still beat the Tigers?
Yes.
Okay. In Detroit?
Maybe not in Detroit. Detroit has, as you know, from a rating standpoint, the Detroit Tigers do extremely well in the ratings.
Did we already talk about this? They're one of the top three teams in all of baseball?
No, we did not.
Yeah, that's insane. You would think, obviously I think the Yankees are still, like, one. But the Tigers are top three. In viewership,
well,
among their home squad.
And it doesn't surprise me. And they're actually having a great year at the box office as well. They are expected to go over 3 million visitors to Comerica Park again this year, which ain't nothing to sneeze at. So, we do know one thing: Mike Ilitch is not losing money, at least not with the Tigers. That's for sure. So good for him. I'm all for capitalism. I truly am. But it doesn't surprise me. I mean, there are so many dyed-in-the-wool Tiger fans, and it's just the way it is. In fact, I've run into a couple people here from out of town. Anthony and I went and got a haircut the Sunday that we were here. We were just kind of walking around Charlotte. We stopped to get a haircut in a barbershop, and there were two young men in there getting haircuts, and one of them, I don't remember where he was from, Iowa, but he was a big Tigers fan. So it was that was kind of interesting. I mean, he was he said, I really haven't followed him much this year. I've been busy. How are they doing? I said, well, if they win tonight, they're tied for first place. And he was thrilled, absolutely thrilled. So there are Tiger fans all over the country, and certainly that was proved here. So the Dallas Cowboys went over the New York Giants last night. Sunday, of course, will be the Sunday will be the real kickoff. What, Anthony?
Predictions?
Predictions for... Well, not yet. No, I guess we're... No, we can't do predictions today. I don't have any of the information in front of me. And I'm not going to get into that. I haven't even thought about Sunday's predictions.
So. Somebody is 3-0 for so far, by the way. Two college games and one NFL game.
Yeah, okay, Jeff. Don't hurt your arm. I wouldn't want you to throw your shoulder out of socket and need surgery. Let's take a quick break here. Much more to get to on the other side. Again, feel free to join us. We are live at the Time Warner Cable Arena. 888-552-3595. Enjoying your emails. Keep sending them. Tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Hey, if you've not been to the Facebook page yet, lots of pictures from the Democratic National Convention, courtesy of one Anthony. We'll take the break and be back right after this in 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your traffic where we have road construction ahead. Your left two lanes closed on 75 northbound between Dixie Highway and East Holly Road until 7 a.m. 26 Mile Road at 94, that ramp to 94 westbound is closed until Friday. And we still have that problem on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 exit. Overturned tractor trailer is partially blocking the ramp to eastbound 696, and traffic is getting through on the left shoulder. That could be a problem for most of the morning, so use some caution in that area. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Not only does corporate political money shout, scream, bellow, and bay in our elections, but afterwards, it quietly slips into the back rooms of power to talk softly about payback. Meet Exelon Corporation, America's largest electric utility, owner of our country's largest array of nuclear power plants, and among the largest donors to Barack Obama's political career. One Exelon board member alone has raised more than $500,000 for Obama and is tight enough with him to get into the occasional presidential basketball game. Also, Obama's top political operative, David Axelrod, has been an Exelon consultant. Overall, Chicago-based Exelon is so connected that it boasts of being, quote, the president's utility. This is a story of how corporate cash buys long-term relationships that then produce quiet access to the inner chambers of government, resulting in corporate favors. Last year, for example, the EPA was developing a new rule affecting how nuclear plants use water. Exelon executives and lobbyists got extraordinary access to top White House officials. Far more meetings and at a higher level than other utilities got, and certainly more attention than environmental groups received. Then, in March 2011, just days after Exelon lobbyists met with their Oval Office buddies, the EPA official in charge of drafting the rule was called to the White House and instructed to rewrite major sections to fit Exelon's needs. Since then, Obama's Regulatory Review Office has held 8 meetings on the proposal, and Exelon was at 4 of them. Again, more than any other interest. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not the slam-bam Jack Abramoff style of crass money corruption, but a sort of soft political pornography. But soft is not better. Whether corporate political money shouts or whispers, it still corrupts.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this First Shift Thursday morning. Thank you for punching in so early with us. Again, feel free to join us. We've got plenty of time for calls this morning. 888-552-3595. Jeff, you can imagine that the first thing that happens when you walk in to set up for your show is the people that are in charge of booking guests walk up to you and say, hey, yeah, all your most of your 7 o'clock guests have already told us they're not showing up today, and we don't know what we're going to do about that. So we are kind of playing that by ear. They're playing shuffle the guests now and giving us lots of maybes, and this person might show up. And I'm going to guess, Jeff, that's because the atmosphere last night was so electrifying. The convention did end much later than they anticipated it would. And I think people were out partying a little bit too hard last night. So that probably affected the guest list this morning. We were told, interestingly enough, that they've been having a real hard time finding guests for afternoon shows because there's a lot going on. I mean, there are lots of different caucus meetings going on every morning. And I'll reiterate what I said yesterday. Every morning, they have delegate breakfasts or meetings, and the Michigan delegation is tied up almost the entire time we are on air. And I tried to get Carla Swift on the show for today. She could only do it by phone. I'm desperately trying to avoid phone interviews because you can do a phone interview from a studio. You don't need to travel to Charlotte, North Carolina to do that. So we've stayed away from phone interviews, or we could have probably a little more easily filled those slots. But we've got a lot of audio to get to. Certainly we can get to some calls and talk about some local issues. And there are plenty of local issues. But the number one, local issue we should talk about is the very confusing primary yesterday in the old 11th Congressional District. Well, what was the outcome of that race? Let's find out from WXYZ Channel 7.
We just learned that Kerry Bentivoglio has won on the Republican side, David Kirsten on the Democratic side. We'll get to the numbers in a moment. But first, as far as this election, a lot of people we talked to were upset about the need to have the election, and they were angry at Thaddeus McCotter because his actions caused all of this.
It makes me a little bit disgusted.
It was a special election that no one seemed to want, that cost $650,000 to hold, that did not draw many voters. It was the election to fill the remaining term of Thaddeus McCotter's congressional seat.
It's a big waste of money for 2 months. McCotter should have stayed right there and hung on for 2 months and then walked out.
It's ridiculous. It's totally stupid. It's caused by the selfish act of one person that resigned. When if you talk to anybody, including me or anybody, we have said, don't resign, stay at home, draw your salary. It's cheaper than having a special election.
Tonight at the election center in Oakland County, they were tallying the votes. At a precinct in Novi, where only 63 people voted all day long, they were doing the same. There were 5 Republicans on the ballot, and as of 10 o'clock, the 2 top vote-getters were Kerry Bentivoglio and Nancy Cassese. There was one Democrat, David Kirsten, who will automatically be on the November ballot. Remember, that's the ballot for the remaining term for the 11th district spot that McCotter abruptly left amid scandal last summer.
And just to let you know, somebody had actually sent me an email yesterday. I just did not have a chance to return it. So I'm assuming you're a listener, and I'm assuming you listen at this time because you sent it at this time yesterday. No, whoever fills the remainder of Thaddeus McCotter's seat will not get a pension, will not get benefits. Well, they'll get a paycheck and whatever benefits that come with the job of being in Congress for the remainder of the McCotter term. But after that, that's it. Everything gets turned off immediately. Because whoever is elected, unless it's Kerry Bentivoglio, will not be able to participate beyond the end of December. So that was a great question, and you have to actually, to get a pension in Congress, you have to serve, I believe, 3 terms. It might be 2, but I believe it is 3 terms. So you have to serve 6 years in order to get a congressional pension. which some say is a little too short, that 6 years should not garner you a pension. But I believe that is how that goes down. So the matchup will happen on November 6th, where I explained yesterday those people living in the old 11th Congressional District will be voting on a member of Congress between Kerry Bentivoglio and Dave Kirsten. And they'll also, those in the new 11th, and now what is the new 13th, will be voting for different members of Congress. So you'll actually, depending on where you live in those respective districts, be not voting for not one, but two members of Congress on November 6th. If I haven't fully confused you yet, well, then I guess I just haven't done my job well enough. But that is the honest to God's truth. Speaking of God, Jeff, there was a rumor floating around again yesterday, and maybe you saw that the word God did not appear in the platform for the Democratic Party. Well, there is truth to that. But the Democrats did correct that and did place the word God into the platform. It was, my understanding, an oversight. And I know people can say, well, how can something like that be an oversight? I don't know. I'm not privy to that. But the Democrats corrected it, and they made sure that the word God was put into their platform. They also, at the last minute, which the Republicans did as well, put a statement in about Israel, two states, the two-state solution, so on and so forth. So, you know, that all got cleaned up yesterday, but it ended up being, as only the Republicans can do, it ended up being such a huge issue when it is so nonsensical. Notice, Jeff, one of the differences between the Democrats and Republicans convention. The Democrats have really focused on accomplishments, certainly job creation. But can you believe that Detroit has been the central focus of so many of the speeches that have been given at this convention? I'm going to venture to guess that nearly 80% of the speakers have mentioned the Detroit, the bridge loans, and how the president, of course, resurrected not only the auto industry, but assured us a manufacturing industry moving forward. So, you know, Michigan and Detroit has been really been front and center at this convention.
How does that make you feel, though?
I'm pretty proud.
Does it? Because it almost, there could be a tinge of, you know, like, hey, you're telling the entire country, like, boy, we really had to bail Detroit out here. Those guys aren't pulling their weight.
Well, I mean, it's been clear that they're not bailing Detroit out. They're bailing out General Motors and Chrysler.
Well, it's clear with the Democrats, but, I mean, Mitt's famous thing is let Detroit go bankrupt.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yes, that is. But I think most people know that means auto companies. But even if it doesn't, there is some truth that it would have bankrupted Detroit, the city of Detroit. It would have bankrupted Southeast Michigan. Look at how devastated our community was by the loss of so many jobs. Look at how it is now rebounding with the addition of so many auto jobs. And so we can talk all we want to. We can wax philosophically. We can do whatever it is we want to do. We know, Jeff, at the end of the day, the auto industry is still critical, is still the foundation of economic success in Southeast Michigan. So let's not pretend it's otherwise. Am I interested in diversifying? I absolutely am. Am I interested in seeing other industries come to the forefront in higher? Absolutely, I am. But in the meantime, it has been the automotive sector and manufacturing suppliers, etc., that have returned some really great middle-class earning jobs to the job roles. So how can you poo-poo something like that? That's obviously a very good thing. And I would imagine that President Obama will address that. I will also imagine, Jeff, that's why Bob King's speech last night was heard in prime time. It was a message they wanted to resonate throughout the country and proudly did. Of course, in the hall, there were UAW signs everywhere. It felt like a UAW convention for a while last night. And, in fact, we're trying to get a hold of one of the UAW folks that are here to get him on the show this morning. But logistically, this gets a little weird around here, no question about it. As I said earlier, you can tell the president's in town because they've readjusted routes getting in and out of here. And getting in and out of here wasn't pure joy to begin with. And so to make that just that much more difficult, it probably isn't appreciated, especially by those in the media. But, again, I feel like I'm in the safest place in the world. If anything were to happen here, I would be stunned beyond stunned. And, you know, there have been a lot of protesters, Jeff. It hasn't made a lot of news. I think the stuff that happened on Tuesday, there was a standoff between protesters and police at all places, the NASCAR Museum, which is a pretty massive building here. No, I have not ventured in. I'm not a big NASCAR guy to begin with. But it's a pretty large facility, and I'm sure it's full of a lot of really interesting stuff, if that's your thing. Just doesn't happen to be my thing. It's really actually been kind of interesting to talk to some of the business people around here. As you know, I'm nosy. I talk to everybody. And a lot of the businessmen are anxious for this to get over with because their normal business trade is not showing up, and so a lot of them are actually doing less business this week, especially downtown, because a lot of these folks are just not working this week, and there are only so many delegates, and there are a lot of restaurants. Charlotte has a ton of restaurants, bud. I mean, a ton of restaurants. So that's been kind of interesting as well. All right, well, listen, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side. Couple more local issues to take a look at. The Supreme Court made a decision yesterday, batting 6-7. What do I mean by that? Well, you'll find out when First Shift continues. 888-552-3595, live at the Time Warner Cable Arena here in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Democratic National Convention. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take this quick break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour on this Thursday morning First Shift program. Thanks for punching in with us this bright and early. And we, of course, are on the last day of the Democratic National Convention before we, and we're going to have some time in the next hour to listen to some of President Bill Clinton's speech last night. But as you know, there's lots of unfinished business going around the state of Michigan. And the Supreme Court made a major decision on ballot initiatives yesterday. All but one made it. But let's listen to this report. From WXYZ Channel 7.
Addie Maroon, the billionaire who owns the Ambassador Bridge here just behind me, versus the governor of Michigan. It's a legal battle that will now go to the voters.
The delays over and over is what really hurts this community.
Scott Brines is a Southwest Detroit homeowner in limbo, trapped in a tug of war between billionaire Natty Maroon and those who want to see a competing bridge to Canada. Scott Brines says, build it now.
We've, for years, suffered the disinvestment and, the ill effects of the pollution and the truck routing that haven't been addressed in this community.
The outcome of the bridge battle became even less clear today. The state Supreme Court decided to send the issue to the voters in November, a huge victory for the Maroons, who have spent millions on their anti-bridge campaign. In a statement released today, the bridge company says, in part, today's decision is a victory for the more than 600,000 voters who signed our petition and for all Michiganders who want a say in how public money is spent on international crossings. Governor Snyder may have tried to ignore the legislature in his rush to build a $3.5 billion government bridge to Canada, but he cannot ignore the Michigan people. But a governor's spokesperson says the ballot issue is irrelevant. Their deal on the bridge with Canada is done. The Supreme Court also agreed to let voters decide whether it will take a supermajority in the legislature or statewide vote to raise taxes. And finally, voters will also weigh in on whether or not to strengthen collective bargaining rights for unions, an amendment that could mean legal chaos for the emergency manager laws.
One of the effects of this might be to call into question the statute. This is what keeps lawyers busy.
Professor Sedler says the biggest takeaway from the Supreme Court today, the citizens are being allowed to alter their state's constitution. In Southwest Detroit, I'm Tom Waite, 7 Action News.
All right, and of course, the one issue that that didn't make it was the expansion of casinos throughout the state of Michigan. That was a no-go, and that was the only one that won't end up on the ballot. So the good news is democracy, for the most part, rules. And they'll have the ballot language, especially for the collective bargaining agreement, the proposal, very, very soon, and then an education effort, a very radical education effort will be made to make sure the people of the state of Michigan understand this is about all working families, not just about unions. It is not just a union initiative. And, of course, the majority of the media continue to ignore that this helps every working family. It helps every business. You understand that collective bargaining happens even in non-union shops. So the right to collective bargaining, and that's all this does, is constitutionally change the right to collectively bargain, hopefully will become not only law of the land, but part of the Michigan Constitution. And we can only hope that that indeed is true. And we'll just have to wait to see how that plays out on November 6th. But expect a lot of information, certainly from this radio program and other media outlets, as we work our way through to the November 6th general election. Reminds me, and of course we do run it every day on the show, but it is time to register to vote. If you are not a registered voter, you have until November 9th. October 9th. You have until October 9th to register for the November 6th election. So make sure that you don't wait. If you go to the TonyShow.org, you go to the very top left, you will see where it says register to vote. You'll click on that. That'll take you to the page where you can literally online fill out the form. You print it. You then can mail it to your city clerk or walk it in to their office, and voila, you are a registered voter. That's not enough just to register, though. We do want to encourage you, of course, to get out and vote. The president will need you. The state will need you. Your communities will need you. The more of us that vote, the better off we all are. In fact, I received an invitation yesterday by a young man by the name of Joseph Black, just a really great young man that is taking upon himself to do a public education effort, if you will, through a hip-hop caucus kind of thing. I don't have all the details on it yet, but he asked me to come talk about voter suppression and what is happening in the state of Michigan, to talk to some young people about not only registering to vote, but getting out the vote, because it is going to be critical. Again, a little later on this morning, we are going to talk to a couple young young people that are involved in the Democratic Party. The young vote is critical to this president being reelected. And so that's why we've placed some of our focus there on this last day of the convention. And so we will hear from them, including somebody that is president of the Young Democrats nationally. Of course, we have our own Young Democrats organization in the state of Michigan, Zach Steve, who has been on the program many times, leads up the Young Dems effort in the state of Michigan. And again, it is a crucial voting block for this president. I did read an article this morning, and again, we'll talk much more about President Clinton's speech in the next hour, but I did read an article this morning that says that the biggest benefit, most likely, to President Clinton speaking last night is he is still very popular among white men. And, of course, Barack Obama is having some polling issues with white men in this country, which just furthers my theory, but we don't need to get into that right now. Don't want to get terribly negative. Not this early. I'll have time a little bit later on to get as negative as I want to get. But the reality is the white men still are uncomfortable with a black man leading the country, and I'll just let that stand where it's at for now. But at the end of the day, President Clinton certainly helps Barack Obama in exponential ways. It was just an amazing speech, and we will get a chance to get into a great deal of it in the next hour as we work through our little crisis in guests. Lots of guests canceled this morning. It's not just affecting me. It's affecting every morning show that happens to be here right now. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to garner some more guests as we work our way through the morning, as we did yesterday. Thoroughly enjoyed conversing with Randy Weingarten yesterday, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, and she was just amazing, on fire. David Hecker had sent me a quick note yesterday, very excited that she had been on the show, and so I appreciate that. Normally, this would have been David Hecker's day. A little disappointed that he's not here. But I have to tell you, I don't know that we've seen anybody from the Michigan delegation since we've been here. Part of that logistically is that they are in a very different part of town than we are. And when we have time off, they don't. So it's that simple. All right, a quick break for the top of the hour. When we get into the next hour, we will listen to some of President Bill Clinton's speech. And if you have not heard it, I'm sure you've heard about it. It is going to rock your world. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and we're live from the Time Warner Cable Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina. A quick break. We'll be back right after we do the top of the hour news.
TN10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your traffic where we have road construction ahead. Your left two lanes closed on 75 northbound between Dixie Highway and East Holly Road until 7 a.m. 26 Mile Road at 94, that ramp to 94 westbound is closed until Friday. And we still have that problem on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 exit. Overturned tractor trailer is partially blocking the ramp to eastbound 696, and traffic is getting through on the left shoulder. That could be a problem for most of the morning, so use some caution in that area. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Team Obama getting a big assist from Bill Clinton. The former president giving a full-throated endorsement of Barack Obama at the Democratic convention last night, saying Republicans left a total mess 4 years ago.
No president, not me, not any of my predecessors, no one could have fully repaired all the damage that he found in just 4 years.
It's President Obama's turn tonight. His primetime acceptance speech had to be moved indoors because of the threat of severe weather in Charlotte. The West Nile outbreak reaching record proportions now. CDC says there have been more than 2,100 cases of the mosquito-borne disease this year, 92 deaths. That's a jump of 25% from last week. And could you suffer a heart attack and not even know it? The answer is yes, according to a new study that says so-called silent heart attacks could affect up to 17% of elderly adults. This is NBC News Radio. A major study of human DNA is being hailed as a breakthrough that could hold the key to discovering how and why diseases occur. NBC's Robert Bazell.
The new way of looking at the human genome and our DNA could reveal what determines a newborn's hair and eye color, height, and diseases later in life, ranging from Alzheimer's to heart conditions.
Don't tell the angry birds, but there are fewer video game players in America this year, down 5%. But don't panic. Designers, that still leaves more than 211 million gamers across the country. On Wall Street, investors are looking to turn it around after yesterday's mixed showing, stock futures sharply higher. And travelers, if your motto is sleep tight, don't let the bedbugs bite, it's the internet to the rescue. Bedbugregistry.com will tell you if your favorite hotel has been infested with the pests and give tips for evading them. By the way, some of America's top hotels are on that list. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
This is a man at the office water cooler after buying a new car.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it.
This is that man at the office water cooler after buying a new Honda Accord.
Man, this car is fantastic.
And this is that man at the office water cooler after buying a new Honda Accord during the massive clearance event happening right now.
I'm so good.
He's so good.
I'm so good.
He's so good.
Experience the joy of getting an incredible deal on the one and only Honda Accord. And right now, well-qualified buyers can get 0.9% APR financing. This clearance event ends soon, so see your Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
For a while now, Exxon and Mobil have been talking about clean. But what exactly does clean mean? Well, it means all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically engineered to help remove harmful deposits. It means our gasoline helps clean your intake valves, your engine runs smoother, and reduce emissions. It even means it helps improve fuel economy. At Exxon and Mobil, clean means gasoline that works smarter for you. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Think clean.
In the coming 2 hours, we're getting three reports on the nation's jobs. First, Challenger Gray and Christmas releases its compilation of public and private layoff announcements for August. Next, Paycheck Processor ADP comes out with its measure of private sector job growth for August. Then the Labor Department has its reading of new jobless claim filings for last week. All that before tomorrow's big August employment report. Ahead of the deluge of jobs news, Career Builder is out with a study showing 10 careers enjoying strong growth over the past year. Job listings have increased more than 30% from a year ago for software engineers, customer service reps, social media managers, truck drivers, pharmacy techs, training managers, financial analysts, video editors, sales reps, and chefs. Samsung is number one, if only for a month. Los Angeles Times says the Samsung Galaxy S3 smartphone outsold the Apple iPhone 4S in August. But of course, everyone's waiting for this month's release of the iPhone 5. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month.
Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we wind up agents like outboard motors, and this is a pop quiz. If you're out on the water and your boat finds its way into a steel buoy, are you covered? If you've got Farmers Boater Insurance, the answer is yes. If not, we've got a policy to help you stay above water, even if your boat's below it.
If you want answers about boat insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
How do we get a diagnosis?
What are the stages of the disease?
When someone in your life has Alzheimer's, not a day goes by that you don't have questions.
Do we need full-time care?
Are there any new treatments?
So many questions. Where do you start?
How will I pay for this?
Where can I get help?
Alzheimer's.gov, a reliable resource for information about Alzheimer's and related dementias.
What happens next?
Where can I find answers?
Alzheimer's.gov, the answers.
We have one of the most important elections in the history of our country on the horizon. Do we re-elect the guy who eliminated Osama bin Laden?
Do we give 4 more years to the man who is making sure health care is a right and not a privilege?
Do we stand with the man that stood with Detroit and the auto companies through the trying times?
Or do we switch to this guy?
Let Detroit go bankrupt. Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Now, live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning, and we are live from the Time Warner Cable Arena here at the Democratic National Convention. This is the last day of the convention. Tomorrow you'll be hearing a best of the week, and there has been some great stuff this week. So I hope that you enjoy that. I want to thank those of you that have continued to email me throughout the week. I'm glad you're enjoying what we're able to bring to you. A lot of passion here, a lot of excitement here, a lot of ideas here, a lot of young people, a lot of women, a lot of diversity. You know, we had Ellen Ratner on from the Talk Radio News Service yesterday, who said the biggest difference between the two conventions have been white people. Listen to this. The majority of people at the Republican National Convention were white people. She said they should have done something, bus minorities in something, but she said it was Snow White as compared to this. And I tell you, there are an amazing mix of people from all over the country here. The Democratic Party isn't just the big tent party. They are certainly the most inclusive of our two major political parties, and that is in evidence everywhere you go here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to turn my attention now to the phones. And again, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. We welcome my friend Amir from Detroit. Amir, good morning to you live from Charlotte.
Good morning to you and Jeff, and hopefully y'all stay dry. You know, I wanted to point out something, and what I was calling about first is not, but, you know, Governor Romney's father, didn't he get wealthy? When
yeah.
the tax rates on rich people were over 60%.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was wealthy before that, but yeah, he had amassed quite a bit of wealth. That's why Mitt Romney started off in life so well.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is because from 1930s all the way up to the 80s, the average tax rate on people making over $1 million was at 60%.
60 or 70. At some point, it was 70%.
Yeah, at one point it was 90%. So this is what I don't get with people saying that raising taxes on those who make a lot of wealth is going to destroy the economy when a lot of people got rich during between the 1930s and 80s.
No question, Amir. You're 100% correct. People, wealthy people find a way to continue to stay wealthy. This isn't rocket science. They know how to make money.
But his father was basically came from nothing, pulled himself up by his bootstraps with the help of with the opportunities he was given in America to become rich during those times when taxes were super high on rich people.
Well, that's part of the hypocrisy of Romney to begin with, Amir, is that, you know, his father is a shining example of what happens when you don't build it all by yourself, that you allow other people to help you. I could go on and on and on. No, there's an incredible hypocrisy over this.
Yeah, we just need to keep pointing that out, because I don't think Mitt Romney remembers that.
I think he conveniently forgets a lot of facts, Amir, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. I appreciate the call, Amir. And he's right. He's 100% right. Anybody that made wealth before 1980 did it on the backs, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you take the risk, if you start a business, you take the risk, and you hire people, and they do the job, and they are fairly treated, which is, of course, the key word there, the key phrase there, everybody benefits from that. It's the greed of the current day, the modern-day Republican Party, from Ronald Reagan forward. Ronald Reagan, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the worst presidents this country has ever known. Ever known. And although the Republicans genuflect at the mention of his name, he did more. He created more debt, and he was the first president to create the kind of debt that was unserviceable than any president in the history of this country. Remind you that when Bill Clinton took over, he had a mess on his hands from George Herbert Walker Bush, and literally, as he said last night, it took him a couple years to get it back on track, but once he did, we had nothing but prosperity, greatest growth in this country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let's listen to a little bit of President Bill Clinton's speech from last night, and we begin with, the idea that we're all in this together. Let's hear what President Bill Clinton had to say last night.
One of the greatest chairmen the Democratic Party ever had, Bob Strauss, used to say that every politician wants every voter to believe he was born in a log cabin he built himself. We Democrats, we think the country works better with a strong middle class, with real opportunities for poor folks to work their way into it, with a relentless focus on the future, with business and government actually working together to promote growth and broadly shared prosperity. You see, we believe that we're all in this together is a far better philosophy than you're on your own. Who's right? Since 1961, for 52 years now, the Republicans have held the White House 28 years, the Democrats 24. In those 52 years, our private economy has produced 66 million private sector jobs. So what's the job score? Republicans, 24 million. Democrats, 42.
I'll take that math, and it is, by the way, simple math. We're going to get to that in a little bit later on in President Clinton's remarks. But let me tell you, when he walked into this arena last night, the crowd could not have been more enthusiastic, and he certainly was more than equal to the task of bringing people to their feet, not just to renominate the President of the United States, Barack Obama, but to remind us of those things we have in common. Next, President Clinton went on to talk about focusing on solving problems and not fighting about them all the time. Fascinating. Listen to this.
Maybe just because I grew up in a different time, but though I often disagree with Republicans, I actually never learned to hate them the way the far right that now controls their party seems to hate our president and a lot of other Democrats. That would be impossible for me because President Eisenhower sent federal troops to my home state to integrate Little Rock Central High School. President Eisenhower built the interstate highway system. When I was a governor, I worked with President Reagan in his White House on the first round of welfare reform and with President George H.W. Bush on national education goals. I'm actually very grateful. I have to be grateful, and you should be too, that President George W. Bush supported PEPFAR. It saved the lives of millions of people in poor countries. I have been honored to work with both Presidents Bush on natural disasters in the aftermath of the South Asian tsunami, Hurricane Katrina, the horrible earthquake in Haiti. Through my foundation, both in America and around the world, I'm working all the time with Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. Sometimes I couldn't tell you for the life who I'm working with because we focus on solving problems and seizing opportunities and not fighting all the time.
And that's the, you know, that's the point. And if we underscore nothing else, you know, is the one thing that we can agree on, and maybe not, is the one thing, though, that we can agree on is that we need to cooperate. We need to negotiate. We need to find common ground. And that is the one thing that has now totally disappeared from politics. There were so many speakers last night that spoke about the divisiveness of the Tea Party. Yesterday, Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio was on with us and talked about the 80 members out of 435, the 80 members of Congress that has seemed to stall, to push us backward, to take us back to the time of Jim Crow is unfathomable and it's unconscionable. All right, I think we've got time for one more quick soundbite before we've got to take a break. And this next one, President Clinton talks about why President Obama isn't afraid to work with others who disagree with him.
One of the main reasons we ought to reelect President Obama is that he is still committed to constructive cooperation. Look at his record. Look at his record. Look at his record. He appointed Republican Secretaries of Defense, the Army, and Transportation. He appointed a vice president who ran against him in 2008. And he trusted that vice president to oversee the successful end of the war in Iraq and the implementation of the Recovery Act. And Joe Biden did a great job with both. President Obama appointed several members of his cabinet, even though they supported Hillary in the primary. Heck, he even appointed Hillary.
Yeah, and what an amazing job she has done as Secretary of State. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about the about foreign policy. My guest that's coming up at the bottom of the hour has a little bit of something to say about that, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. It should not surprise us that President Bill Clinton was able to deliver the kind of speech that he did, but that it got the kind of universal praise that it got is quite unusual. Certainly, it's difficult, and as we do on this show on a daily basis, it's very difficult to fight against the truth. We had mentioned on Tuesday's show that Bill Maher talked about this on his show last weekend. When we can't even agree that the facts are the facts, then what do we have? What kind of future do we have? What do we have to look forward to? Importantly, profound questions. And it's something that we need to deal with the divisiveness that this Congress, this do-nothing Congress has created, the least productive Congress in history, is astounding. A very quick break here at 17 minutes after the hour. I am Tony Trupiano, live from the Time Warner Cable Arena here in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Democratic National Convention. Let's take the break. We'll do more Clinton audio on the other side. Stay with us, please.
With Tony Trupiano.
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do. So whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Chambers Hair Institute.
Checking your drive into work, we've picked up a disabled vehicle. It's blocking the right lane in the construction zone. That's on 275 southbound at Michigan Avenue. And we still have that problem on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 exit. Overturned tractor trailer partially blocking that ramp to eastbound 696. And traffic is stop and go from Beck Road. And you also have traffic getting by on the left shoulder only. We also got some slow traffic on westbound 696 between DeQuinder and 75, and some more slow traffic on 94 westbound between Little Mac and 12 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Are you taking Propecia for hair loss and experiencing long-term side effects like erectile dysfunction or depression? Chambers Hair Institute, the leaders in hair restoration since 1969, has alternative treatments without the side effects. Call today for your free consultation, 248-524-9911.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday First Shift morning program, live at the Time Warner Cable Arena at the Democratic National Convention. We're listening to some of the wonderful remarks by former President Bill Clinton last night. Let's just jump back in and... He went on to talk about the troops and the job that the First and Second Lady are doing. Got an amazing response from this Time Warner Cable Arena DNC crowd.
Besides the national security team, I am very grateful to the men and women who served our country in uniform through these perilous times. And I am especially grateful to Michelle Obama and to Joe Biden for supporting those military families while their loved ones were overseas. And for supporting our veterans when they came home. When they come home bearing the wounds of war or needing help to find education or jobs or housing. President Obama's whole record on national security is a tribute to his strength, to his judgment, and to his preference for inclusion and partnership over partisanship. We need more of it in Washington, D.C.
Amen, brother. Amen. I mean, can I get an amen on that? Do we absolutely need more of that? Of course we do. President Clinton went on to talk about, jobs and how President Obama had a plan. In fact, we'll do some math a little bit later on, but let's listen to what he said about the President Obama and trying to create some jobs.
We all know that he also tried to work with congressional Republicans on health care, debt reduction, and new jobs. And that didn't work out so well.
But it could have been because, as the Senate Republican leader said in a remarkable moment of candor, 2 full years before the election, their number one priority was not to put America back to work. It was to put the president out of work. Well, wait a minute. Senator, I hate to break it to you, but we're going to keep President Obama on the job.
Absolutely, we are going to keep President Obama on the job. Of course, last week, the Republicans had their chance to make their case to America. We now know that it was nothing but day after day after day of nothing but lies, lies, and more lies. So President Bill Clinton did us a favor. He simplified the message coming out of Tampa. This is what he said.
In Tampa, did y'all watch your convention? I did. In Tampa, the Republican argument against the president re-election was actually pretty simple. Pretty snappy. It went something like this. We left him a total mess. He hadn't cleaned it up fast enough, so fire him and put us back in.
Yeah, and that pretty much was the entire message coming out of Tampa last week. President Bill Clinton goes on to quote, a famous Republican, Ronald Reagan, and I think he makes his point with an exclamation point.
They want to go back to the same old policies that got us in trouble in the first place. They want to cut taxes for high-income Americans even more than President Bush did. They want to get rid of those pesky financial regulations designed to prevent another crash and prohibit future bailouts. They want to actually increase defense spending over a decade $2 trillion more than the Pentagon has requested without saying what they'll spend it on. And they want to make enormous cuts in the rest of the budget, especially programs that help the middle class and poor children. As another president once said, there they go again.
And that is exactly what happened. There they go again. So it was a great, great line from President Bill Clinton. Well, listen, you know, he looked at the reality. He told some truths last night. And sometimes, you know, the truth is difficult, especially when you can't refute it. This next piece of audio speaks for itself.
Too many people do not feel it yet. I had the same thing happen in 1994 and early 95. We could see that the policies were working, that the economy was growing, but most people didn't feel it yet. Thankfully, by 1996, the economy was roaring, everybody felt it, and we were halfway through the longest peacetime expansion in the history of the United States. But, wait. The difference this time is purely in the circumstances. President Obama started with a much weaker economy than I did. Listen to me now. No president, not me, not any of my predecessors, no one could have fully repaired all the damage that he found in just 4 years.
All right, the President Bill Clinton, and we're going to get to a little more audio in the next hour because there's still some great stuff to come. But we do have a caller on the line. Steve in Monroe joins us now. Steve, good morning to you. I'm live in Charlotte and having a great time.
Well, that's good, Tony. I'm glad you're down there. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm kind of upset today. I did put my Romney sign up, and I woke up this morning after my wife woke up at 2 in the morning because she heard some noises outside, like banging, and she didn't know what it was. We went back to sleep, and our house got egged 7 times.
Your house got egged, and you're saying that's because of the Romney sign?
Oh, without question. Without question.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. You know that I would never advocate. I consider that violence, to be honest with you, and I would never advocate for that, and I think it's foolish. I have my Obama-Biden sign in front of my house, and I get my fair share of dirty looks from some of my neighbors, but that's about as far as it should ever go. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. That's an attack. And, I hope that you actually, not that the police probably could do anything about it at this point, but I hope you'll make a report. I think you need to make a report because people need to pay for that kind of stupidity.
Yeah. You and I disagree on a lot of stuff, Tony, but we're always civil to each other, and it was pretty frustrating this morning, you know. So I just wanted to share that. It's not a big deal. We'll have other things to talk about down the road, but enjoy yourself down there. Have a great time, and we'll talk to you when you get back sometime.
Steve, I do appreciate that, and I'm sorry that that happened to you. Folks in Monroe and folks everywhere, all over my listening audience, there is no reaction to somebody's political affiliation that that mandates what I consider to be a violent act, and that is a violent act. You are defacing somebody's property. We should be very considerate of our neighbors. We are, of course, not going to agree politically on everything, but just because somebody puts a sign in front of their house does not give you permission in any way, shape, or form to do what happened to Steve's house.
All right, that's eggs, though, Tony. What about toilet paper?
Sorry.
Yeah, same thing?
Same thing, man.
You get a report filed for toilet papering?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if it's around Halloween, we'll let it go. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of defacing somebody else's property. Have you ever had to? Have you ever had your house toilet papered?
Yep.
Do you know what a hassle it is to get that stuff out? I mean, do you know what a hassle it is? It's not fun. It's not fun.
Well, toilet paper, though, I mean, you clean it up. But we actually, when I was a kid, had toothpaste and eggs and all kinds of stuff.
Really?
That's a hassle.
That would be a hassle. There's no question about it. So, anyway, just not a big fan of doing that. Send him a letter in the mail. Tell him you disagree with his politics, but that was inappropriate. All right, we come back. Rich Goodstein will be joining us. He is a Democratic strategist and attorney with expertise in many areas, including foreign policy. So the guest parade begins when First Shift begins right here on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Taking a look at your traffic, we picked up a new problem on E-Course Road at 275. You got reports of debris on that ramp to 275 northbound. Still watching that disabled vehicle that's blocking the right lane in the construction zone on 275 southbound at Michigan Avenue. And that problem we're going to have probably most of the morning on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 split. Overturned tractor trailer partially blocking that ramp to eastbound 696. And traffic is getting by in the left shoulder only. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a daily double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You can try it for just $1.99 on McDonald's new extra value menu. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Democrats in Charlotte are making their case that they are the party to lead America forward and to make sure that we adopt economic, social, and foreign policies that represent and protect the real interests of working Americans. U.S. Representative Barney Frank says when President Obama is reelected, Congress should support efforts to accelerate jobs growth.
I would hope that we would get a Congress that would cooperate with the president so we could accelerate job growth by doing a couple of things, including helping state and local governments, investing in infrastructure.
U.S. Representative Gwen Moore of Wisconsin says despite intense Republican obstructionism from day one of his presidency, President Obama has worked for the change he promised.
We have a very coherent message that President Obama, even despite the obstruction that was planned from his inauguration day, despite the stepping into two wars and stepping into a ruinous financial situation, has really used the power of the White House to bring about health care to most Americans, has been able to save the auto industry, has signed legislation to provide equal pay for equal work for women, has really fought back the forces that would drag women back to a different century with regard to birth control and control over their reproductive lives, has been a great innovator in education. And what could we have done had we had more cooperation from Republicans?
in Charlotte to attend the Southern Workers Conference. Eleanor G. Bailey of the American Postal Workers Union says that Postal Service management plans drastic cuts in service that will eliminate tens of thousands of jobs while slashing service. She called on the American people to defend the Postal Service.
What the post office is planning to do is to close down 3,700 post offices, to shut down 480 mail processing centers, to eliminate 100,000 jobs, restrict mail delivery to 5 days. What role should you guys be playing? You have got to get some representatives in Congress that will take care of your postal service. Not these folks that are looking after the corporations that are trying to destroy the United States Postal Service.
This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. It is, 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning program. We are at the Time Warner Cable Arena at the Democratic National Convention. And joining me now is Rich Goodstein. Rich is... an amazing guy, actually. He's a principal in Goodstein and Associate, and they do a lot of work in the public policy arena. He's just sitting here telling me that he is a very good friend of the Clintons, did a lot of surrogate work for him in the 90s. And Rich, first of all, let me welcome you
to the
show. Enjoyed our chat before we began. And your friend Bill Clinton last night, not former President Bill Clinton, your friend Bill Clinton last night made you awfully proud, didn't he?
It was beyond pride, and I think there are a lot of people in the convention hall, God only knows how many millions at home, that kind of felt the way I did, whether they were personal friends with him or not, which is you're kind of reminded of this unique way he has of communicating. You know, I was thinking as I was sitting there and literally moved to tears at various points just because he has just such a beautiful way of kind of framing issues. And you go, you're tearful not because there's a sensitive side to it, but just because he does such an amazing job. And I was thinking, if somebody that was as persuasive and powerful as him had been speaking in Tampa, they wouldn't have let Mitt Romney speak because he would have looked so pathetic in comparison.
Oh, certainly.
Right? And I mean, anybody sitting at home who saw Romney and who saw Clinton last night, and I'm positive to a certainty that Obama will knock it out of the park tonight himself, has to be kind of blown away by just the stark kind of comparison, obviously all of which works in the Democrats' favor.
You know, you understand politics from the inside out. You're not just a friend. You weren't just a surrogate. The president and vice president appointed you to help with economic opportunity in the Middle East. You understand foreign policy better than most of the people that are in this building right now. And you know, we have to ask ourselves the question, certainly as we look to Barack Obama to continue to lead us as it relates to foreign policy. I think he's one of the most successful foreign policy presidents we've had in many, many decades. But that's just my perspective from reading what I read. I would love to hear your thoughts on the president's record on foreign policy.
You raise a point that, you know, you rarely hear. I bet this week on the cable shows, the network shows, the radio networks, you're hearing very little about foreign policy. But the fact is, you're right. I mean, in my opinion, the president has an extremely formidable record. Think back. You know, we had a president before him who had shoes thrown at him in press conferences in the countries that we saved.
Yeah.
Now you've got somebody. We talk about Bin Laden. It's like, oh, yeah, of course. But wait. 8 years, Bush kind of, you know, he was supposedly Mr. Anti-Terrorist, and he reached the point where, you know, he just kind of changed the subject every time Bin Laden came up. And Obama, we now know from reading all the accounts of how this went down, was very methodical, but took some risks, but there were risks worth taking, and thank God that he did. But it's way beyond that. I mean, I think the U.S. is held in an esteem, again, around the world that enables us to do, in a sense, more with less. In Libya, my prediction is in Syria, a year back from now, we will look back and see the same phenomenon where we didn't have to deploy troops necessarily, but we kind of did work toward an outcome that the world community realizes was a very positive one. And I think even that's going to be true with Iran and elsewhere. So I do think that the president's foreign policy record is one of his absolute strong suits. And then, frankly, again, a incredible contrast with Mitt Romney, whose main contribution to foreign affairs is the jobs that he shipped there.
Okay, that's actually a fair assessment. You know, Rich Goodstein, I'm reading your bio, and I see that the foundation of who you are today started with your schooling, with your education. That has been a big focus this week, how young people are challenged. Mitt Romney tells young people, well, you've got to shop for a cheaper place to get an education and then ask mom and dad for money, who obviously don't have it. Without, you know, let's make this a little bit personal for you. Without the foundational education you had in those opportunities, would you be who you are today?
No for me, no for Barack Obama, no for Bill Clinton. The fact is, both of those, you know, Clinton and Obama both came from families where, you know, if you kind of looked at the profile of their upbringings and so forth, you would not have predicted in a million years that they would have ended up anywhere close to where they were. And education was the single variable. It was the single thing. It wasn't their ingenuity. It wasn't hard work, you know, kind of out on. It was the education that they got, which gave them the opportunities that they took, you know, full advantage of. And certainly for me, had I not had the kind of educational opportunities I had, I wouldn't be sitting here. I wouldn't be able to make kind of the contributions that I try to make in the public policy arena. And again, the starkest of contrast between President Obama's vision for the future, what he plans to do in a second term, which is, again, more robust help for education, but in targeted ways, not just throwing money at things. Whereas we know from the Ryan budget, that will be one of the areas that receives perhaps the biggest cuts would be education. I mean, remember, the Tea Party, left to its own devices, would do away with the Department of Education. They would do away with any kind of federal support, which they see as kind of blasphemous. Coming from a guy who went to Harvard Business School and Harvard Law School in Mitt Romney. So, there's obviously an hypocrisy there, as there is in other some issues that they talk about.
You know, it's interesting because certainly one of the commonalities between a President Bill Clinton and a President Barack Obama is their passion for helping the poor, for not only never forgetting them, but always remembering that what they do has to make sense. Bill Clinton talked last night about, you know, lifting people out of poverty. President Obama speaks about that a great deal. But that doesn't happen by not spending money. You have to spend money in order to help those that don't. We know that the poverty in this country is growing by record numbers. The middle class is shrinking. Those that are getting wealthy are getting wealthier. We don't need to do a whole lot of math here, Rich Goodstein, to figure out that Republicans, especially their plans, they would get rid of, they would love to get rid of HUD. They would love to get rid of most of the food stamp program, what they would do with Medicare and Medicaid. They would actually turn this country, and especially those that are now on poverty or on the brink of poverty, on a path there much quicker than anything we've ever seen in the history of this country. I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about morals and values. Does the Republican Party have them any longer?
You know, think about Romney's willingness to let Detroit go bankrupt and what the literal impact would have been on those tens, if not hundreds of thousands of families. What would these people have been doing? I mean, these are not people who were necessarily going to be plunging into poverty immediately, but they would have been in a really bad straits. Then you have the people today who are in poverty, where the Republican Party seems totally fine with the idea of doing away with the safety net. And when asked, I suspect, you know, what would you do for those people? They talk about churches, and they talk about all these ways that, you know, back in the day of, you know, Ozzie and Harriet, and Leave It to Beaver, we have this notion that somehow or other there was just this safety net that just happened to kind of come about out of nothing. Well, again, that's fantasy like so much else that they talk about when they talk about kind of going back to the good old days. I think it's actually a horrifying notion if you were ever able to give them a truth serum and answer honestly, what do you want to do with all these people in poverty as to whom you're removing what little that they have, Medicaid and food stamps and so forth? It's very cruel, and it's a world that I don't think even their base, their wealthy donor base, feels is what the U.S. should be.
You know, interestingly, we should have a discussion about Republican obstructionism, which has been become an art form. Just to be the party of no is not enough. They have really turned this country back. It kind of harkens me back to the Clinton years, the whole star thing, how much more we could have accomplished. This was a witch hunt. Your Fred Bob Wiener was on with us earlier this week and talked passionately about being actually the first person to criticize Tom Starr publicly, and we wasted a lot of time during those Clinton years on things that just didn't matter, and as we now know, didn't go anywhere. How much more could that president have accomplished? And of course, we can fast forward to this last 3.5 years and say, how much more could we have accomplished?
Right. When I say I kind of get teary-eyed when I listen to Bill Clinton, that to me is part of it, because I reflect back on that 18 months that was totally lost, not for him, but for the American public, because when you hear him and hear how gifted he was, and frankly, what amazing kind of ways in which the economy grew, notwithstanding the Ken Starrs and the Tom DeLays and the Newt Gingriches, you wonder how glorious it could have been, but for that kind of finger in his eye. So I think that you could say what if. You could say what if about Barack Obama. People say, well, he had the Democrats ran the House and the Senate. The fact is, in the Senate, they didn't have a filibuster-proof margin, but for a few months until Ted Kennedy died in 2009 and then because of the seating of Al Franken, which took so long. So let's hope that in a second Obama term that we could actually calm down and people can actually take full advantage of the talents that somebody like Barack Obama brings to that office.
We are unfortunately out of time, Rich Goodstein. I want to thank you for being with us and enjoyed this a great deal. Enjoy the rest of the convention. Enjoy tonight's speech.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks so much for having me.
A quick break here for the top, or not the top of the hour, until the next segment. Time Warner, Cable Arena, the DNC. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. I am Tony Trugeno, live from the Time Warner Cable Arena. And I told you we're going to talk a lot about youth today. Well, my next guest certainly epitomizes that. Joining me now is Deion Jones. Deion is from Atlanta, Georgia. He's currently the sophomore majoring in political science at American University in Washington, D.C., where he is a member of the School of Public Affairs Leadership. He is also the second youngest elected official in the country, and we welcome Deion Jones to First Shift this morning. Deion, a pleasure to have you with
us.
Thank
you so much, Tony.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
All right, you've got a great backstory. I want you to reach out to the members of my audience this morning, the young people that I'm always trying to get engaged in the process. In fact, I was just asked yesterday, if you can believe this, to speak at a hip-hop event in a couple weeks. Yeah, me going to be speaking at a hip-hop event in a couple weeks to engage young voters. I'm actually going to be talking to them about voter suppression, which is a very real issue.
Exactly.
And getting out the vote. But tell your story. You were just saying to me during the break that 4 years ago, you're in high school, watching a convention, getting excited about the first black president being nominated, first black president to get elected. Here you are 4 years later, one of the stars of the convention. I mean, that's got to feel good.
Exactly. I was 4 years ago in my room in the inner city of Atlanta, what we call the hood, the ghetto. My mother is a single parent on a single parent's teacher salary, $33,000 a year. Poor. Going to a dropout factory, and so many kids there, especially black males, my school was 99% African American. Most of the kids there lived in lower income neighborhoods, and it's like we were seeing the first black president being nominated in high school, sitting there and saying, oh my gosh, we could be that. And then 4 years later, even when I graduated high school, the thought of me being sitting here, and tonight I'll see him accept the nomination for a second term for the presidency of the United States is just mind-boggling. It goes all back to that thing that God can dream a bigger dream than you can dream for yourself. And it is just so, so, so true.
So we talked about you being the second youngest elected official in the country. What were you elected to?
So the District of Columbia has three levels of government. They have the Advisory Neighborhood Commission, they have the City Council, and they have the mayor and his executive offices. So I'm an Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner, and we deal with everything from economic development all the way to how many police are in the neighborhood protecting the neighborhood. So the smallest issue you will have in your neighborhood, you will come to me first before you went to anybody else, and I will be your liaison to any city see the agency that you needed to get in contact with.
Now, you're still in school, correct?
I am still in school, and I'm actually, I was just a sophomore. Last week was our first week of school, and so now I'm a junior at American University.
Well, congratulations on that. It goes by fast, doesn't it?
It goes by extremely, extremely fast.
Well, you know, obviously, at the level that you're elected, that is an activist level. You're an elected and you're an official, but this
right.
is really about activism, is
right.
it not?
Right. Really, really, really about activism, being the voice of your community, being the first person to speak out on behalf of members of your community, whether it is about economic development in D.C. When I ran, it was a whole lot about, you know, these whole campus plan issues. And you know when campus plans go into neighborhoods, a lot of neighborhoods get a lot of pushback for those campus plans. And so you are that face, and you are that voice, and so that's what I have been for the past year. And for a year and a half, almost 2 years now, is that first person, that first face that people see when it comes to concerns in the community.
Would you like to stay on a political track? Do you see yourself being a public servant, helping those that have less, that have as much, that have more than you?
Yeah, I definitely see myself being a public servant. As far as being an elected official, that's a whole other story. I feel that that's something, a career you can't plan, but something that just... And it doesn't. I don't want to say it just happens, but it is not something that you say. Oh, you don't wake up tomorrow and say I'm going to be president of the United States.
Yeah, but Deion Jones. Yeah. No. Now we're going to have this conversation. Don't tell me tonight when you're a black man. There's going to be a black man standing at that podium accepting his party's nomination. That a little bit of you isn't going to be dreaming one day that could be me.
Well, yeah. One day that could. That definitely could be me. You know, I think that when you live your life to serve other people and help other people and be that beacon for other people and a voice for other people, that may lead you into politics, but it's not the necessary road that you have to take. So it's not that I'm going to make sure I watch every step I take because maybe one day I may run for Congress.
Well, you know what? That's okay. I ran for Congress. It is the most difficult thing you'll ever do because congressional seats are safe because of redistricting.
Right.
They talk about the gift of incumbency. It is a gift, but it doesn't mean it can't be done, and there are upsets. Deion, I would suggest not that you just stay close to your studies, but you stay close to your beliefs, those
exactly.
beliefs your mama gave you.
Exactly.
You stay close to that, and you, because you are also a caretaker of your community. You realize you're raising people right now by being an elected official. You are a parent in every sense of the word.
Exactly. I think about that every day and in everything that I do. I think about the people back home who look at me, and when I was in high school, I had this whole thing, especially my senior year when I figured out that, you know, that there's something special about me that I feel that I'm destined for some type of greatness, that people started to look up to me and see me as this beacon of if Deion can make it, I can as well. And so, you know, even me posting pictures on Facebook from last night, so many people from back home have liked the photo, have told me how much I inspire them. So I definitely get that I am a beacon for a lot of people, especially when you go back to my high school that is still to this day a dropout factory. Those kids there to know that somebody there can leave there and become an elected official in this country, the youngest elected official in this country, and be sitting here on the Tony Trupiano show talking about his time at the Democratic National Convention.
Now, you're very kind, and I do appreciate that. You know, Deion Jones, it is amazing to me, as we look at the focus of this convention, there's, of course, been a labor focus, which is fine. There have been a woman focus, which is necessary. Mm-hmm. But there has been an amazing outreach to young people. Young people were an important part of the 2008 election cycle. The president needs young people again. Some say they're not as enthusiastic about them as they once were. I don't think that the enthusiasm is the right word. They believe in this man, and I believe they'll come out for him.
Yeah, I believe that they will come out for President Obama as well. I think that, you know, when you look at, even from not even yesterday, but Tuesday night when the First Lady spoke, throughout the whole Republican National Convention, 4 million tweets the whole week.
Amazing.
Tuesday night, 3 million tweets just doing her speech. 28,000 something per minute.
Deion Jones, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much. You are a gift to this country, and I am so glad I had a chance to meet you today.
Thank you so much, Tony.
You bet.
I look forward to talking to you later.
We will do this again. All right. Absolutely will. Folks, we have to take a quick break for the top of the hour. Much more to get to in the next hour, live from the Time Warner Cable Arena. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we picked up a new problem on Ecorse Road at 275. You got reports of debris on that ramp to 275 northbound. Still watching that disabled vehicle that's blocking the right lane in the construction zone on 275 southbound at Michigan Avenue. And the problem we're going to have probably most of the morning on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 split. Overturned tractor trailer partially blocking that ramp to eastbound 696. And traffic is getting by in the left shoulder only. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iglesias. Former President Bill Clinton delivering a stirring plea for 4 more years of President Obama.
I want to nominate a man who's cool on the outside, but who burns for America on the inside.
Clinton blasting Republican ideology says the GOP aims to double down on trickle down. It's President Obama's turn tonight as he makes his case for a second term at the Democratic Convention in Charlotte. Storm-weary Gulf Coast residents keeping an eye on the remnants of Hurricane Isaac, which has made its way back into the northern Gulf of Mexico and could grow into a tropical storm. Meantime, Hurricane Leslie drifting northward in the Atlantic, threatening Bermuda with 75-mile-per-hour winds. And Pope Benedict is going green. The 85-year-old pontiff was presented with his first electric car yesterday for environmentally friendly jaunts around the gardens of the papal residence. This is NBC News Radio. New York cracking down on e-cigs. Those electronic cigarettes that give a blast of flavored nicotine are now banned to anyone under 18 in the Empire State. A pro football pioneer has died. Art Modell, former Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens owner, was 87. He was a driving force behind the league's lucrative TV contracts. A new study says NFL players are at greater risk of brain disease, putting the spotlight back on the issue of violent hits and player concussions. NBC's Dr. Nancy Snyder.
NFL players have a significantly higher risk of dying of the degenerative brain diseases Alzheimer's and ALS, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
The league announcing a $30 million donation to support research into the relationship between brain injuries and long-term disorders. And the Dallas Cowboys spoiled the New York Giants' party last night, holding off the defending Super Bowl champs 24-17 in the 2012 season opener. I'm Jim Iglesias, NBC News Radio.
With over 900,000 products and 31 diverse product categories, Grainger's basically an anything you need supply buffet. We've got everything from safety and electrical products to hardware, hand tools, and more. So you can efficiently purchase exactly what you need from one source, saving time and trouble. And just to be sure, the buffet thing was a metaphor. Please don't eat the stuff. Buy your supplies smarter. Just call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like I always say, behind every great football game is a great football party. And kickoff always starts at Sam's Club.
Find brand name favorites and big game savings at Sam's Club with guaranteed crowd pleasers, delicious snacks, drinks.
And don't forget the big screen.
Special savings and HD TVs from Sony, Samsung, and LG. And check out the latest smartphone from AT&T and Verizon to keep you connected to all the action.
I score more savings with my membership for everything and any event.
See why life is better in the club. Sam's Club. Join and save.
The first of three Thursday reports on U.S. jobs is encouraging. This past hour, HR firm Challenger, Gray and Christmas reporting employers announced just over 32,000 job cuts in August. That is the smallest monthly total since late 2010 and the third consecutive decline in layoff announcements. Stock futures still up following that. S&P futures gaining 6, NASDAQ futures up 11. In the hour ahead, we'll have two more reports. August private sector job creation predicted to be up, and last week's new unemployment claims reading predicted to be down. Tonight, the advertising business will witness what many hope is the beginning of a new trend. During MTV's Video Music Awards this evening, a Pepsi commercial will air on the television, and at the exact same time, the exact same commercial will be shown on MTV's website and on MTV's mobile app. For the past few years, advertisers have tried to fight some of the ways we consumers wiggle around having to watch the commercials. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we wind up agents like outboard motors, and this is a pop quiz. If you're out on the water and your boat finds its way into a steel buoy, are you covered? If you've got Farmers Boater Insurance, the answer is yes. If not, we've got a policy to help you stay above water, even if your boat's below it.
If you want answers about boat insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
How do we get a diagnosis?
What are the stages of the disease?
When someone in your life has Alzheimer's, not a day goes by that you don't have questions.
Do we need full-time care?
Are there any new treatments?
So many questions. Where do you start?
How will I pay for this?
Where can I get help?
Alzheimer's.gov, a reliable resource for information about Alzheimer's and related dementias.
What happens next?
Where can I find answers?
Alzheimer's.gov. The answers.
Last week, we heard all that the Republicans had to say.
I wish President Obama had succeeded because I want America to succeed.
College graduates should not have to live out their 20s in their childhood bedrooms, staring up at fading Obama posters.
What do you want me to tell Romney? I can't tell him that they do that. That can't do that to himself.
He tells Americans that they're worse off because others are better off. That rich people got rich by making other people poor. Hope and change has become divide and conquer.
President Obama has never run a company. He hasn't even run a garage sale or seen the inside of a lemonade stand.
This week, we get the truth. And it starts right now. Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I got to do it at least once a day. We are back. I am Tony Trupiano live from the Time Warner Cable Arena here at the Democratic National Convention. People are scrambling all over the place. I love stories like Deion Jones, young, energetic, still in college, elected official, serving his community, as an exemplary student. You have to wonder, and I didn't ask him the question, I probably should have. You have to wonder, because everybody in his generation, including my own children, in order to get a college degree, has to put themselves into amazing debt. The problem is finding a job once you get out of college, and anybody that has student loans know that you've got 6 months. After that 6 months, the bills start coming, and they need to be paid back. For some people, it is more than their rent, which is why they're staying, by the way, with mom and dad. Perhaps the Republicans, just once, agree to something, I don't know, like the Jobs Act, none of this would be necessary. By the way, by not considering the Jobs Act, The best estimates, the most conservative estimates, I should say, say that cost us at least 1 million jobs that would be filled as we speak. You know, President Clinton talked last night about the 3 million job openings in this country that go unfilled because we don't have people trained for those jobs because education gets that much more difficult to attain. When you have to make a choice between eating or going to school, eating has to come first, unfortunately. And it's just one of the realities of modern day life. And so we need to stick with a president like Obama who understands these struggles so much more. This, if this is just about the debt and the deficit, I want to make this point. The debt hit $16 trillion this week. A series of economists, and you can Google this. I don't have the article in front of me, but you can Google it. Show a definitive correlation between manageable debt and the Bush tax cuts. If we did not have the two Bush tax cuts and we did not have the unnecessary war in Iraq, our debt would be more than manageable right now, and we would be having a very different discussion about the financial health of this country. But this is at the hands of George W. Bush, not at the hands of Barack Obama. Has he created more debt? Absolutely. But that debt has been an investment in America. You know, somebody pointed out on this show many, many months ago that the cost of borrowing money is cheaper than it has ever been. And when you look at debt as an investment, which is what it is, the return on that investment is well worth it. So keep that in mind. Also keep in mind, it was the Tea Party and the Republicans who decided to have a stalemate over raising the debt ceiling, which is a non-issue, no-brainer issue, but they made it something it wasn't, forcing a downgrade in the U.S. status. Folks, that was all done at the hands of the Republicans, led by John Boehner. All right, as we work our way through this next hour, we do have a little more time, and I do want to go back to President Bill Clinton's speech last night. And, of course, one of the things the president talked about, something that is critically important to all of us, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, the auto bridge loans. This is what the president had to say.
More than 500,000 manufacturing jobs have been created under President Obama. That's the first time manufacturing jobs have increased since the 1990s. The auto industry restructuring worked. It saved more than 1 million jobs, and not just at GM, Chrysler, and their dealerships, but in auto parts manufacturing all over the country. That's why even the automakers who weren't part of the deal supported it. They needed to save those parts suppliers, too. Like I said, we're all in this together. So what's happened? There are now 250,000 more people working in the auto industry than on the day the companies were restructured. Now, we all know that Governor Romney opposed the plan to save GM and Chrysler. So, here's another job score. Are you listening in Michigan and Ohio and across the country? Here's another job score. Obama, 250,000. Romney, zero.
There we go. Bob, again, just do some simple math. Again, we'll come back to arithmetic here in just a minute. Now we go to the topic of the Affordable Care Act, or what is commonly known as Obamacare. President Clinton's thoughts on that, pretty clear.
Listen to this. For the last 2 years, after going up at three times the rate of inflation for a decade, for the last 2 years, health care costs have been under 4% in both years for the first time in 50 years. Let me ask you something. Are we better off because President Obama fought for health care reform? You bet we are.
Yeah, you bet we are. And, of course, we've detailed that and we'll continue to do that as we march towards November 6th. And our next in the hit parade from President Bill Clinton's speech last night, they talked about that misleading ad on welfare. This is what President Clinton had to say.
But I am telling you, the claim that President Obama weakened welfare reform's work requirement is just not true. But they keep on running ads claiming it. You want to know why? Their campaign poster said, "We are not going to let our campaign be dictated by fact checkers." Finally, I can say, that is true. I couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, and we don't have time to do, or do we? Do we have time to get to the next soundbite? All right, well, then let's do it quickly. I told you we'd talk about arithmetic. Here we go.
Now, people ask me all the time how we got four surplus budgets in a row. What new ideas did we bring to Washington? I always give a one-word answer. Arithmetic. If they stay with this $5 trillion tax cut plan in a debt reduction plan, the arithmetic tells us, no matter what they say, one of three things is about to happen. One, assuming they try to do what they say they'll do, cover it by deductions, cutting those deductions. One, they'll have to eliminate so many deductions, like the ones for home mortgages and charitable giving, that middle-class families will see their tax bills go up an average of $2,000, while anybody who makes $3 million or more will see their tax bill go down $250,000. Or, two, they'll have to cut so much spending that they'll obliterate the budget for the national parks, for ensuring clean air, clean water, safe food, safe air travel. They'll cut way back on Pell Grants, college loans, early childhood education, child nutrition programs, all the programs that help to empower middle-class families and help poor kids. Oh, they'll cut back on investments in roads and bridges and science and technology and biomedical research. That's what they'll do. They'll hurt the middle class and the poor and put the future on hold to give tax cuts to upper-income people who've been getting it all along. Or three, in spite of all the rhetoric, they'll just do what they've been doing for more than 30 years. They'll go on and cut the taxes way more than they cut spending, especially with that big defense increase, and they'll just explode the debt and weaken the economy. And they'll destroy the federal government's ability to help you by letting interest gobble up all your tax payments. Don't you ever forget, when you hear them talking about this, that Republican economic policies quadruple the national debt before I took office, in the 12 years before I took office, and double the debt in the 8 years after I left, because it defied arithmetic. It was a highly inconvenient thing for them in our debates that I was just a country boy from Arkansas and I came from a place where people still thought two and two was four. It's arithmetic. We simply cannot afford to give the reins of government to someone who will double down on trickle down. President Obama's plan cuts the debt, honors our values, brightens the future of our children, our families, and our nations. It's a heck of a lot better. It passes the arithmetic test, and far more important, it passes the values test.
And that is the important test, is the values test. It is simple math, and that's why I get so frustrated with the Republicans that call into our show. They keep on saying that it's about the deficit. Well, President Obama has a program that cuts the deficit by $4 trillion and increases revenue by putting the tax increase where it needs to be, those that can afford it. It is that simple, and it's only the Republicans that want to complicate it. Folks, we know trickle down doesn't work. We know it. We know it. We factually can prove it from so many different angles that it isn't even a... There's nothing about it that's even a little bit gray. There are no gray areas there. Trickle down just doesn't work. How many businessmen have you ever heard say, I'm not going to create more jobs if I don't need to hire more people? Well, they get more money through tax breaks, which means that they don't have to come out of pocket to do anything to make that money. They're just keeping more of the money they make. Why do they? What's the incentive to hire more people? That's what I thought. Silence, of course. There is no incentive. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we educate our friends, our neighbors, our families, and strangers to the reality that only the Democrats know how to get us out of this hole, and the process that President Barack Obama has started is working. A quick break here at 17 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday morning. I am Tony Trupiano, live at the Time Warner Cable Arena at the Democratic National Convention. President Obama's big speech this evening. I know you'll be watching. Stay with us. First Shift continues right after we take this quick break.
Tony Trupiano.
Fox News contributor Michelle Malkin.
There's a very popular contrast of the difference between Romney and his supporters and Barack Obama and his supporters. The Romney types, of course, are the ones who sign the front of the paycheck, and the Obama types are the ones who've spent their entire lives signing the back of them.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we picked up a new accident on 75 southbound at Baldwin Road. That's causing slow traffic from Ortonville. Got that disabled vehicle blocking the right lane in the construction zone on southbound 275 at Michigan Avenue. Now we got heavy traffic on M14 westbound between Godfredson and Ford Road. And stop and go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and US 23. And don't forget about that problem on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 split where the overturned tractor trailer is partially blocking that ramp. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Hear what I say, and hear what I say loud and clear. I am not pro-abortion. I am pro-choice. And if you don't know the difference between the two, you never will. Listen to me. There is no connection or correlation between rape and abortion. And that anybody would make that leap is absolutely disgusting.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Hey, welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday morning program. We are live at the Time Warner Cable Arena here at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am honored and pleased to bring to you someone that you're all going to be familiar with, Congressman Sander Levin, who joins us to talk a little bit about last night and today's festivities and the president's speech. And Congressman, congratulations on your latest primary victory and what will sure be another term in Congress. You make us all proud, and I think you know that.
Oh, glad to be with you again, Tom. Glad to be with you. It was quite an evening last night.
It was quite an evening last night, and you know, let's start off with not President Clinton, but many of the speeches that led up to that. Certainly, this convention has been well represented by electeds. I was very proud when they brought out the female senators that serve in Congress. Our own Debbie Stabenow, looking resplendent and beautiful as always, courageous. The work she's doing on the Agriculture Committee has become national headlines. She has a tough race in front of her, but we know she'll do well. But there's been such a wonderful focus at this convention on women and young folks. And I know that you love to engage young people into the political process. So this must be, I mean, you've been to, I don't know how many of this conventions this is for you, but this must be a special one for you.
No, very much so. And I think this convention, you know, as I've been here, I really think that the people here represent so well the people of the United States. I think we reflect our strengths, our diversity, the struggles of the middle class, the struggles of people to become part of the middle class. I've represented areas that are basically middle class throughout my career, and I think the people here represent the hopes, the aspirations, the accomplishments, the challenges. You're right. It's so different. The role of women has been emphasized. Also, the challenge before young people, and they've been speaking here. So it's been, I think, uplifting.
Well, the one thing you have always been exceptionally good at outside the Beltway, back at home, is staying connected to your constituency. And I certainly think metropolitans in Detroit who are speaking with this morning understands all of the issues that are here today. They are affecting every single constituency that you represent, whether you're trying to get through college without getting into too much debt, whether you're trying to find a job, whether you're trying to save your home. There isn't an issue that it has not been spoken of here that doesn't affect the folks back at home. So it's wonderful when we juxtapose the two conventions, what happened in Tampa and what's happened here. What's happening here is we're directly and truthfully addressing what happens, what needs to happen. We understand that there's work that needs to be done, but there's a plan. They didn't have a plan, and they still don't, at least not one that they're willing to share with us, Congressman.
No, that's so true. You know, some people said, well, President Clinton went on for, what was it, an hour or so? But, you know, he believes that the people want to understand. He doesn't sell short the American people. I think Tampa sold people short, and they thought, give them slogans. I saw Mitt Romney on TV yesterday. He said, well, the Democrats want government to do anything. That's so wrong. President Clinton spelled out yesterday how, look, it's not everybody just on their own. We need to do our thing, but also do some things together. And that's really the basic issue. You know, Social Security is doing things together as well as doing it on our own. We work for it, and yet it's a combined effort. Medicare, we earn it, but together we make sure that every senior has access to health care. Education is the same. We do it, but not only on our own, we also do it together. So he was talking to younger people so eloquently. We have some support for kids going to school. Macomb Community College has 10,000-15,000, maybe more, kids who get students who get some help. Their parents work for it. Many of them work, but they get some help through Pell Grants, which Ryan wants to reduce. They get some help from loan programs, and the Republicans resisted efforts to make sure the interest rate was low enough people could afford it. So it's everybody has to do it, but not just do it alone.
Well, none of us do anything alone. The founder of CarMax makes a case for that last night. The founder of Costco.
Oh, they did that so well. They did that so well. And they so distort President Obama's words. You know, he was talking about everybody who builds a store needs a highway. Everybody who builds a store needs light, etc. So everybody should do their thing, but realize that we have to do some things together.
And we do have to do some things together. I think that's one of the things that makes the Democratic Party something that I can be so proud of. You know, we're called the Big Tent or the Big Umbrella Party. That's an honor. That's a badge of honor that we are so inclusive, that we are so concerned, that we are so compassionate. I do believe that there is, and I know you do this because I can see it through the legislation you sponsor and those you advocate for. I do believe you need heart in politics. I don't think you have to. I don't think you should put that behind you, Congressman. I think you have to remember that budgets are moral documents, and they say something about how you really feel about humanity. The Republicans have made it clear how they feel about humanity.
No, I think, you know, the Ryan tax proposal, which essentially boils down to this: if it were to pass, people making over $1 million would get a tax cut of $330,000. The typical family would get a tax cut of $2,000, and 25 to 30 million people in this country would have their taxes increased. And they would eliminate, for example, the deduction for education expenses. Can you believe that? I think what President Clinton did last night was to say to the American people, you have to really believe what the Republicans would do. It's not an idle threat. They would turn things upside down in this country.
Well, and of course, we've seen that what their obstructionism in Congress, something you have to deal with and
every
has
day
to
they,
deal with every day.
They, as Mitch McConnell said years ago, their number one priority has been to prevent the reelection of this president. And I have faith in the American people.
I do, too. Congressman Sander Levin, thank you so much for being with
nice
us.
To be
what
with
an
you
honor
again.
It is to see
it's
you.
My privilege.
Congratulations on your recent wedding, by the
thank
way.
You. Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Thank
We're going to
you.
Take a very quick break here. My thanks again to Congressman Sander Levin. I am Tony Trupiano. It is just at the 8:30, bottom of the hour. We'll take a break for the bottom of the hour. Come back. A lot more to get to as we work our way through the rest of today's convention. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Chambers Hair Institute.
Taking a look at your traffic, we've got slowdowns on most of the freeways, but here are your trouble spots. Still watching that disabled vehicle that has your right lane blocked in construction zone on 275 southbound at Michigan Avenue, and that's causing slow traffic from Ford Road. Another reported accident on 75 southbound at Baldwin, that's causing slow traffic from Ortonville. Got heavy stop-and-go traffic on M14 westbound between Gottfredson and Ford Road. And we got some more slow traffic on 75 northbound between 696 and 11 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Are you taking Propecia for hair loss and experiencing long-term side effects like decreased sex drive or anxiety? Chambers Hair Institute, the leaders in hair restoration since 1969, has alternative treatments without the side effects. Call today for your free consultation, 248-524-9911.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Not only does corporate political money shout, scream, bellow, and bay in our elections, but afterwards, it quietly slips into the back rooms of power to talk softly about payback. Meet Exelon Corporation, America's largest electric utility, owner of our country's largest array of nuclear power plants, and among the largest donors to Barack Obama's political career. One Exelon board member alone has raised more than $500,000 for Obama and is tied enough with him to get into the occasional presidential basketball game. Also, Obama's top political operative, David Axelrod, has been an Exelon consultant. Overall, Chicago-based Exelon is so connected that it boasts of being, quote, the president's utility. This is a story of how corporate cash buys long-term relationships that then produce quiet access to the inner chambers of government, resulting in corporate favors. Last year, for example, the EPA was developing a new rule affecting how nuclear plants use water. Exelon executives and lobbyists got extraordinary access to top White House officials, far more meetings and at a higher level than other utilities got, and certainly more attention than environmental groups received. Then, in March 2011, just days after Exelon lobbyists met with their Oval Office buddies, the EPA official in charge of drafting the rule was called to the White House and instructed to rewrite major sections to fit Exelon's needs. Since then, Obama's Regulatory Review Office has held 8 meetings on the proposal, and Exelon was at 4 of them. Again, more than any other interest. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not the slam-bam Jack Abramoff style of crass money corruption, but a sort of soft political pornography. But soft is not better. Whether corporate political money shouts or whispers, it still corrupts.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday First Shift morning, we are live at the Time Warner Cable Arena here in Charlotte at the Democratic National Committee. My next guest is Congressman John Yarmuth. He represents Kentucky's 3rd Congressional District, which encompasses gorgeous Lexington. Louisville, Kentucky. And has a very rich background in journalism. I was pleasantly surprised to read. You know, I would have to think, and I ran for Congress in 06 and had a tough race, barely lost. But I do think that journalism prepares people for this. Of course, you weren't just a journalist, though. You're very much a businessman and founded more than one publication very successfully. So you understand the public psyche quite well.
Well, I hope so. But you know what I found journalism really allows you to do is to figure out what's most important to people. And, you know, you can organize your thoughts. And when you're trying to communicate about complicated issues, it's really a very good background to have, because everything we're dealing with on the federal level is really complicated. There are no simple solutions to what we're dealing with. And so journalism, again, gives you the ability to figure out what's most important and organize your thoughts. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your district. You're going into Detroit today. You know the challenges that we're having there. That has made national news now for a couple of years, so this is no secret. Talk a little bit about your district and some of the challenges you're having there.
Well, first of all, we share a lot with Detroit because two of our biggest employers are two Ford plants.
Okay.
And in Kentucky, we have 430-something companies in the auto supply chain. And we have a huge Toyota plant outside of Lexington and a General Motors plant near Bowling Green. So the auto industry is very much a part of the fabric of my community and the economy. And so what I love to do now, because people say, you know, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Well, 4 years ago, one of our Ford plants was on the chopping block. And we all know the problems that Ford had along with everyone else. Now, 4 years later, Ford has invested $600 million to create what is now the most flexible facility in North America, and they will have 3,100 more people working in that plant at the end of this year than they had even a year ago. So we've got a great success story that involves the auto industry. And, of course, as President Clinton said so well last night, if that industry had gone down, it would have been a million jobs. And the Ford progress would have been not possible because all those suppliers would have been out, and they would have submarined Ford as well. So anyway, our challenges are significant, but in Louisville we're doing some good things. There's a lot of progress. We have a consumer products division of GE there, General Electric. They brought two new lines back from overseas. Well, one from Mexico, one from China. 430 jobs brought back from China.
That's incredibly good news.
Yes, a line from Mexico, and then they created a third new product line. So we have more than 1,000 new employees at GE, and we have some negatives, but overall, Louisville's made remarkable strides in recovering from the disastrous economy we had in 2007 and 8.
Well, I know tourism is very important to your district, and of course, when people are working, it looks better, it feels better. We want it to be busy, and that helps. I mean, and that helps. And in Michigan, our number two industry is tourism. Automotive is number one. Tourism is number two. So we can't write that off. But you brought something up, Congressman, that I think we don't talk enough about. The cost of labor continues to rise in China. This is an excellent opportunity for American companies to import these jobs back into the U.S. Now, our own Senator Debbie Stabenow introduced recently some legislation that got filibustered in the Senate that would have rewarded companies for bringing jobs back home. But that's a discussion we have to continue to have, is it not?
Absolutely. And let me tell you what was behind the GE bringing the line back from China. They determined that there was actually about a 7% differential in the cost of making a certain appliance in China versus the United States. That was it, because you've got an 8,000-mile supply chain, and you lose about 20% of the products in shipping and all of those things. When we right now, there's on the books, and there has been, a tax credit for people who buy energy-efficient appliances. We in Congress voted to extend that same tax credit to the manufacturer if they made that energy-efficient product in the United States. It was that tax credit that made up the difference for GE to incentivize them to bring that line back from China. So the government had a very direct role in creating the incentive that brought back American jobs. And, and that's what the Senator Stabenow is doing, and the similar types of things. And it's really important when people say government really doesn't have a role and shouldn't pick winners and losers. No, it should.
No, and it really should. My guest again is Congressman John Yarmuth from Kentucky's 3rd Congressional District. You know, Congressman, it's interesting as we take a look at importing jobs back here. We know that the UAW did an amazing job in the last collective bargaining agreement with the Big Three to make sure that they were going to import more jobs back. We also need to be very, very aware that of that old slogan that government doesn't create jobs. There's an example where government, they didn't create them, but they certainly created the environment. And that's the point you were making. That's an argument that we just can't drop.
We can't. And when I am out in my district and I talk about that very that same claim that the Republicans make, oh, the government doesn't create jobs, I go through the top seven employers in my district, and not one of them would be the same company or institution if it weren't for government. The University of Louisville, where would they be without Pell Grants and without tens of millions of dollars in research grants that support many employees there? UPS, it's our biggest employer. They have a $1 billion contract with the federal government. And, of course, the infrastructure that UPS has to rely on
Absolutely.
Was built by government. Humana, the insurance company, is based in my district, 11,000 employees, 80% of Humana's business, $37 billion worth of revenue, 80% of it is administering government programs, including Medicare Advantage and the TRICARE program, the military insurance program, and Medicare Part D, the prescription drug plan. So I go down that list and say, did government create all those jobs? No. Is government support critical to maintaining those jobs and to expanding them?
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's no question, Congressman, that's That's true. I would imagine that when you go back home over the last 3.5 years, I believe you're in your third term, right?
Third term.
Mm-hmm. As each trip gets a little bit easier to go home because there's a little bit more good news, but now we're in a pretty tough race. And the president needs your help. Obviously, you're out there helping him. We could talk about President Clinton's speech last night, but we've done that a lot this morning. Let's talk about tonight, though. What case do you think President Obama needs to make? I know he'll make it well, but what is the case he needs to make tonight to the American people?
I think he has to explain to the American people where he intends to take the country over the next 4 years. It's his obligation as a candidate, as someone who wants to have his job renewed. But it's also a great opportunity because what we saw last week out of Governor Romney is the only plan he has is to try what the Bush administration tried.
Mm-hmm.
Cut taxes again and hope that stimulates growth. There is no other part of his agenda. So I think this is right now the president's got a clear open field because they know where Romney's going to go, and he's basically going to go back to 2000. So I think the president needs to lay out, you know, he talks about how it's important to fund education and infrastructure and research and so forth. I think he needs to put a little bit more meat on those bones and show exactly how that can happen and what it will mean to the American people.
I truly love this president. There are a lot of things to love about him, and I truly do love the guy. If I had a criticism, it would be that he's a little too shy. He doesn't talk enough about what he has accomplished. Now, that's happened this week, and a lot of his surrogates have done that. You think he needs to be a little braggadocious tonight?
Absolutely. You know, in a lot of cases, we're talking past each other in this country right now. And the other side has made for 4 years, bashed the president. He hasn't stood up for himself. That the idea, for instance, that the reputation of the United States around the world is not significantly better than it was 4 years ago is mind-boggling. And he has raised the stature of the United States throughout the country. I was at a program in Brussels a few weeks ago. The ambassador to Brussels said when he came there, job approval or U.S. approval rating of the United States in Brussels was somewhere around 10 or 15%. It's now over 60%. Is
wow.
that an accident? No, that's because people believe in the leadership that Barack Obama has provided, the very stable, calm, reflective, non-braggadocious approach to foreign policy, saying, you know, you have something of value in Europe. You know, the people have... put it this way, the United States is not always right, and the rest of the world has something to contribute to the progress of civilization.
Well, and there's something to be said about this president's very thoughtful approach and patient approach to foreign policy.
Exactly
to
right.
rush to judgment, we, of course, got into great debate last week about Russia and Iran, and that's not a discussion we shouldn't be having, but we shouldn't have been having it the way we were. You don't get up in a convention speech and start pissing people off, to be honest about it.
Well, and you know, the idea of talking when we're trying to get cooperation from Russia on a number of things, when we're trying to do some more work on arms control, and when we want their help in Syria and other places around the world,
yeah.
And then you get Governor Romney saying they're our number one geopolitical enemy. I mean, you know, the reason that the world is much safer in Europe, and right now we're looking at different approaches around the world is because Russia's no longer a threat, and Russia wants to be part of the modern world. And President Obama realizes that. Doesn't mean you agree with them on everything and you're not going to have problems with them, but you can't be out there calling somebody whose help you want on issues, calling them your number one geopolitical enemy.
Very, very quickly, because we're going to run out of time sure. here, your colleague Diana DeGette was on with us yesterday, and she says that she was approached last week by a group of mainline Republicans, let's call them throwback Republicans, that approached her and said, this is getting out of control. I think it's time we figure a way through this. That's good news, but that has to happen.
It does have to happen. And, you know, I've talked to some of the refreshment Republicans who came here, some of them Tea Party, with Tea Party support, and they're getting a little tired of what's going on. And they're telling me in private, you know, this isn't really why I came here. I really do want to have a government that works. Yeah. And that's what we need to have.
We're out of time. Congressman John Yarmuth, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to speak with you.
Good to be with you, Tom.
All right. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the convention. I'm sorry, we're up against the break. Let's get to it quickly. I'm Tony Trupiano. Much more when we return here on 1310 WDTW.
Tony Trupiano.
Hey, so, you know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
State Representative Harvey Santana.
And ladies and gentlemen, they're scaring you into being apathetic. Mm-hmm. They're scaring you into believing that the boogeyman really exists. The boogeyman exists in your mind. And if you let that contaminate the way you think, you're never going to get out there and vote. You got to look around your surroundings and look at the obvious things that are happening. And I ask you, how has Republican ideology helped you?
First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
All right. Well, good luck, Tony.
Thank you once again. Really appreciate it. Where did Anthony go? Hoffa's going to be late, but we've got...
First Shift is on the road.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Oh, I must not have plenty of... I am Tony Trupiano. We deep in discussion and waiting on our next guest, who is walking in as we speak. So as we give him a chance to sit down and get settled and get some headphones on, I'll just remind you we are live from the Time Warner Cable Arena here at the Democratic National Convention. This is the last day of the convention, by the way, and tonight, as you are all well aware, President Barack Obama will make his pitch to the country as to why we need to rehire him, and you can bet. You know what? It's really interesting. I'm not at all concerned. Some of you wrote me right after Clinton's speech last night and said, how does the president top that? You know what, ladies and gentlemen? The president will find a way to top that. But let me turn my attention now to somebody that I have a great deal of respect for. Joining me is... James B. Hoffa, who is, of course, the general president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and a sponsor of this program. So let me thank you in person for that sponsorship because of your support of this program. We're allowed to be here today and to do what we do. Mr. President, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Well, Tony, it's great to be here, but, you know, it's important we have a voice, a progressive voice, and I think that's what you provide, and America needs that, and I think your program fulfills a very important role in our society.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I want to start by actually going back a couple years. You have you were one of the first labor leaders in the country to go to bat for President Obama. When he started having trouble with the Republican Congress, you literally stood up and said, no, enough's enough. We're going to speak the truth. And if somebody doesn't want to hear it tough, you know what? I'm going to speak the truth anyway. You've been unashamed to do that. You've been unafraid to do that. And in the process of doing that, your union is growing.
We are growing, and we're very proud of that. I mean, we're in a worst economy. Everybody knows that we've had. But the answer is the economy is getting better. General Motors, Ford, Chrysler are doing well. I'm from Michigan. Just came from Illinois. I was down in Ohio. We realize that people are getting back to work. Over 200,000 people are back to work that were laid off. I always tell people if they wanted to ask that question about are we better off today, why don't you ask those people that were laid off and now are back to work? I think they think things are better.
Yeah, well, they certainly
do. And I think they do. And I think housing prices are firming. And the answer is, hey, it's not roaring back. It's not where we want to be. There's still a lot of people who are on layoff or don't have jobs. So we've got a tremendous job ahead of us. But things are getting somewhat better. But, you know, right, we have to speak out on these issues. And I think, you know, what's going to happen is we've got a tremendous race coming up here. But what I've seen here with Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton last night, I do believe the president will knock the ball out of the park tonight. We're going to get a bump out of this, and I think that in the end that we're going to win this race. But I don't want anybody to be overconfident, because if you don't vote, you don't vote. I mean, we got to get people to the polls to realize how important this election is. You know, everybody tells you that every election is the most important election ever. I mean, how we heard that?
Every
election is the most important. Well, I kind of think this one really is important. You know why? There's a choice. Those are people that want to take away Social Security, that want, you know, tax cuts for the rich, who want to get rid of, you know, the capital gains tax. They want to take away Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment benefits, food stamps. And the answer is, I can never imagine a clearer choice. It's either them or us. It's either you're going to vote, you know, for people that want the rich to get richer and to forget about us, or we're going to go out and vote for people that really care about us. I think that's the question, and I think that's the picture we have to paint and get out to talk to our people. I think it'll be 60 days now, and whatever the day.
60 days. It'll be 60 days
like
tomorrow.
60 days, and we really have to go out and pound it and to wake people up as to what's at stake here. You know, people realize they don't think anything can be taken away from them. I talked to some of my Republican friends, and I said, you realize they want to cut your Medicare? And they're on Medicare. And they said, oh, not me. That's what they said. I said, well, you're worried about your kid? Well, he's got to do it on his own. So we really have to get people aware of what's going on. People don't want, you know, Social Security works. Medicare works.
They're the most, it's
I mean,
most
they're
successful
both,
federal program ever.
They are successful programs. I have a lot of friends who are on Medicare who are a little bit older. They say, look, I'm so happy to have it. They were, you know, self-employed. They didn't work for General Motors. They don't. And they're on their own, and they say, you know what, this makes sense. So that's what we have to do, paint that picture. That's what our job is.
You know, the other thing I want to talk to you about is you've admonished your leadership to go out into your membership and make sure that they get elected to city councils, to get elected to precinct captains, that you want them, you want your membership as politically active as they can possibly be. But beyond that, you're making sure that every young person that enters your union understands the history and the importance of what it is they have with that union card. It's not just about a raise and a benefit.
Well, that's one of the problems we have because, you know, as time goes on, we get new people come in, and they're starting at, you know, for UPS or their freight, they're stopping at a good rate. They got health care, they got pensions, and they're saying, this is great. And they don't realize how hard it was to get here and, you know, what we started with. And this is a product today in 2012 of something that started, you know, back in the 50s. And we now got here. And it's so important that they understand that there's a heritage, that we stand on the shoulders of those that went before us, and that this just didn't happen. You didn't get here with, you know, 23 hours an hour and, you know, 4 weeks vacation. How did that happen? Because your union's fighting for you. And a lot of these people take it for granted. They say, well, this is just great. And they walk in and they say, well, I always thought it was like that. They, some of them think the employer gave it to them. If the employer had their way, they'd be making $10 an hour. And there would be a line around the block and they'd be working part-time.
Well, you certainly lead by example. There's no question that is true. But you have an exhaustive schedule between now and November 6th. You'll be traveling the country for the president. You will be continuing to getting into your membership and making sure that there's change. That music tells me that we're out of time for the top of the hour. So let me thank you for being with us. Thank you for your leadership and thank you for your courage.
Well, Tony, thank you for standing up. I really appreciate what you do.
I appreciate it. Thank you. James P. Hoffa, thank you so much. Folks, a quick break for the top of the hour. Much more to do when we continue here from the Time Warner Cable Arena.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we've got slowdowns on most of the freeways, but here are your trouble spots. Still watching that disabled vehicle that has your right lane blocked in construction zone on 275 southbound at Michigan Avenue, and that's causing slow traffic from Ford Road. Another reported accident on 75 southbound at Baldwin. That's causing slow traffic from Ortonville. Got heavy stop-and-go traffic on M14 westbound between Godfredson and Ford Road. And we got some more slow traffic on 75 northbound between 696 and 11 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Tonight, the low dips down to 62. Tomorrow, afternoon thunderstorms with a high of 78. Right now, cloudy and 71. I'm Jeff with your first shift weather.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
It happens on one stage.